is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile.
He's going to come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins, touchdown, Buffalo! McCoy, touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones on a nice day in Orchard Park, New York. Bills continuing on with their off-season conditioning program, day three. One more workout day tomorrow, and then they are finished for this week. Come back next week and do it all over again. We're coming to you live from the At Pro Sports Fieldhouse, At Pro Sports Training Center. On the front end of the field house from our One Buffalo studio. And we're happy to have you in the audience on radio on WGR Sports Radio 550 and on MSG. Thanks for tuning in. Phone lines open as they always are, 803-0550 and toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. Or you can join us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Donald, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you today?
Are you okay?
Are you doing okay?
I'm doing okay, yeah.
All right. Yeah. You still have power and everything at your house, right?
I was a little worried about that yesterday. We had a heck of a windstorm again yesterday, a month after that last windstorm that knocked us out for 4 days. But
Did you try to arrange some things with Steve about sleeping on his couch just in case?
No.
Like you did the last time?
No, I did not. I'll fend for myself. I'm not going to impose on anybody.
Okay.
All right, yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about Tony Romo. We talked a lot about his Hall of Fame prospects, if they are, in fact, legitimate or not. I want to kind of turn the attention. We are going to turn the attention in a couple of different directions today. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Mark Vandermeer is going to join us. He is the play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans. He'll join us to talk about where the Texans go now after this, after not getting Tony Romo. Not that it was a lock, not that it was a sure thing, but you have to believe that Romo, in many respects, figured into their plans. At least he was kind of the ace in the hole for the Houston Texans, somebody that they probably thought they might have a shot at getting. He's gone now. They're left with Tom Savage and with the rookie, the second-year guy, rather, Texans.
We'll
get to
look that up.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But they don't have much there at quarterback. They don't have a whole lot there at quarterback. And so, where do they go? We'll talk with Mark Vandermeer about that. There is this, though. Romo did a conference call yesterday about his CBS. He has, as you know, he's decided to go with CBS. He's going to be their number one analyst on the number one team with Jim Nance, the NFL on CBS. Tony Romo retires, confirms his job with CBS, but he leaves the door open. I think he left the door open, right? If this was his quote yesterday when he was asked about if this is it, you think he'll ever come back? The quote from Tony Romo: "I wish I could tell you unequivocally, 100% for the rest of my life, I'll never play any sports at all. I don't envision coming back, but I've also seen enough things from Coach Saban. I'm not going to Alabama, to Brett Favre. I'm done playing football. Do I envision coming back and playing football? Absolutely not. I'm committed to CBS." But Tony Romo said there's a 99, it's almost 99% certain that he's done. Why would he leave 1% out there? Right. Why would he let anyone let that speculation out there? 99%, why not 100%? He says he's committed, but he also leaves the door open a little bit. I don't know why he would do that, and I don't know what that means. You know, it's somebody pointed out, you know, what if he's getting ready to start his season with CBS, and what if Tom Savage comes up with an injury in Houston? And all of a sudden his phone starts ringing, or any team in the NFL.
You do that? I mean, like, obviously he can do it, but do you do that if you're Tony Romo? I mean, that I don't know if he would totally just leave CBS at this point.
Well, he couldn't do
once
half
you get
and
to
half,
that point. But no, he can't do half and half, but I don't know if he would leave at that point and say, all right, I'm going to go back and play football. You know, because at that point you're talking about in training camp where he's fully training now with CBS to get ready to go into the season. I don't think he would do that. I think he would, you know, have to just sit out this season.
He doesn't think he would do it either, but he did leave the door open.
He left the door open at 99%.
I mean,
obviously, you know, he's probably a better quarterback than Tom Savage and Brandon Wheaton, but I just don't see him leaving CBS.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brandon Wheaton. I just don't see him leaving CBS to in the middle of what he's – well, it's not. It wouldn't be in the middle, but while training for a new career and what he's about to get into. I just don't see him doing that with Tony Romo.
Yeah, I think when you say training, you mean practicing.
Practicing to get ready for the season, yeah. During training camp, I mean, he's probably going to, as Steve talked about yesterday, they're going to be training him probably doing some preseason games, yeah. some mock stuff. I just don't see him leaving at that point to even if a guy gets hurt to go and play. But I will tell you this, it's very hard.
He left the door open.
He definitely left the door open. And I'll say this as a player. We know that, you know, we talked about it with Steve yesterday. The greats, the guys who have been very good in this league, it doesn't end well for those guys. It really doesn't. I mean, you've seen Brett Favre, how hard it was for him to leave the game. You've seen how hard it was for Peyton Manning to leave the game, how hard it's been for Tony Romo. You know, Tom Brady said he wants to play until he's 100 years old. I mean, it's hard for these guys to leave the game, and they're the great ones. It's hard for guys that haven't been, like, great, great in this league. It's hard for any athlete to just leave the game, you know, when you feel like you can still get it done, when you feel like, man, I'm better than these guys that are out here playing. It's really hard for you to do that because that's what you've been doing your entire life. And so that's why I think he's like, I'm 99% sure that I won't play again, just because in the back of your mind, you still he will have that itch. In the middle of the season, he's going to have that itch, and he's going to be in the booth and can't get down on the field and do something.
All right. I don't know. I think the fact that he left the door open is not – it's not a red flag, but it certainly is worth noting. 99%. He says, I'm going to get in the booth. I'm going to like it. It'll be a challenge. I'm excited. I don't envision that really being something I'd have to think long and hard about. I'm just telling you – this is Tony Romo saying – I'm just telling you it's about 99%. And if for some crazy reason CBS decided to fire me, I guess I'd have to think about – playing in a small golf tournament or in flag football. Flag football? Really,
flag football.
Tony Romo?
You don't see him doing, like, doing commercials like Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You know, playing in some flag football games. You see the commercial with Cam Newton with the kids?
Yes.
And he's like running around stiff arming a bunch of kids and he throws a bullet through a kid's chest.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. You're going to see Tony Romo in commercials like that.
Well, we want to know what you think about that. Did Romo leave the door open for a possible return to the NFL? The phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you could talk about this, our Twitter poll today. It deals with the Bills and their quarterback issues. They have Tyrod Taylor locked up now to a contract extension. Tyrod is going to be the starter. We know that. They have Cardale Jones on the roster. They have Josh Woodruff on the roster, a rookie free agent from Liberty. What do the Bills have to do to finish off their quarterback depth chart? Maybe you already think it's finished. That's our Twitter poll. We'd like to hear from you about that. People love to talk about quarterbacks. People love to speculate on what the Bills need, and we want to know from you about their quarterback depth chart. What do they have to do to complete their quarterback depth chart? The Twitter poll's been up for a little bit. We got about 275 votes in. 64%, about two-thirds of you, said they should draft one. 27% of you say they should sign a veteran free agent. 9% of you say they have what they need. Not many believe that. Draft one. Here's the thing, Donald. As far as the Bills quarterback depth chart with those three names we talked about, Cardale Jones to me is essentially a rookie.
Yes.
Played a little bit against the Jets in the finale. An unfinished, very raw prospect who needs a lot of work, a lot of playing time. If you draft another quarterback this year, a rookie quarterback,
who are you developing?
Who are you going to develop? How are you going to get reps for him? How are you going to get practice reps? How are you going to play him in preseason? I think they like what they see in Cardale in terms of raw material, arm strength, size, smarts. You know, he's a very smart player. Just doesn't have enough experience. 11 starts in college, 11-0 record in college, but he doesn't have enough experience yet.
Right.
And I think for the Bills, to draft a quarterback would raise an issue, just kind of create an issue. Who are we developing here? Who is the potential quarterback of the future? I think they feel pretty good about the raw material they have with Cardale Jones. And so, for me, I would not look to the draft to add to the quarterback depth chart. I do think they need at least one more body there, no question about that. They have Cardale. They have Woodruff, who is a prospect guy, you know, Liberty University guy, small college guy who, to be honest, I've never seen him throw, never seen him play. Woodruff, I call him Woodruff, Josh Woodruff from Liberty University. He's in his first year in the league. But what do they do to draft another quarterback this year and out of a quarterback class that is not that great, not that deep? I don't know how that helps things that much, and we'll see how the draft falls to him. I would prefer to see a veteran free agent added to the roster and just to sort of round out the quarterback depth chart.
I look at this thing and say, you know, Tyrod Taylor right now, he is your guy moving forward. We all know that Tyrod Taylor is this franchise's quarterback right now and, you know, for the next couple of years at least. But he still needs to be developed. So, for me, you need to have a veteran sitting behind him, a guy who's been proven, a guy who can win some games, keep you afloat if Tyrod Taylor was to go down, but also a guy that can help to develop Tyrod Taylor. Because you have coaches you know, and coaches are going to try to do their best to develop Tyrod Taylor and try to improve his weaknesses in the passing game. And it's one thing for a coach to tell you to do something and a coach to teach you how to do something. It's a totally different thing when you have a veteran that's on the field with you in the classroom standing there that can tell you, listen, this is – what are you looking at right now? This is what you should be looking at. You know, it's just a totally different thing when you – between a coach and a player that's sitting right there with you, doing everything with you in the meeting rooms, in the weight room with you. I mean, it's just a big difference. And so I feel like you need to have a veteran sitting behind – Tyrod Taylor, a guy who can win games and a guy who can help develop Tyrod Taylor.
I do too. And a guy who can, you know, can be a sounding board for Tyrod Taylor,
right.
A guy who you know, might be able to have the benefit of experience for Tyrod and for Cardell Jones.
And Cardell Jones.
You know, to say, hey, when I was here, this is the way we did it. There's not a great pool of free agent quarterbacks. We know that. We went through this before when we were talking about Tyrod Taylor's future. The quarterbacks who were still available, Colin Kaepernick, a whole different set of circumstances there. Jake Cutler. Is still a out there as far as quarterback still available. And so, you know, to say that, you know, that guy is easy to find, maybe it's not going to be a high-profile guy. Kaepernick, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to say
you
that.
You can't bring him in here. He's a vegan.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is available. In fact, we have a tweet on that. Let me find it here. Alex Jones tweets in, people aren't going to like this, but I think signing Fitz to a low-money short deal would not be a terrible fit. I guess it wouldn't be a terrible fit, and I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is popular in many quarters, but I just feel like, and he's a friend of yours, but I just feel like it's they've been down that road. I don't know if you advance anything with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I don't know if you go back to bringing Ryan Fitzpatrick back onto this roster. I think, you know, you'd have to go with somebody else. I just don't see them signing Ryan Fitzpatrick back.
I don't either. Who else is out there? Sean Hill. Last year with Minnesota is available. Blaine Gabbert is available. Dan Orlovsky, Christian Ponder, Thad Lewis, T.J. Yates, Ryan Nassib, David. Look, you're not going to be bowled over by any of these names. But one of them might fit the bill for a guy who can step in, be the quarterback for a game or two, you know, hopefully not lose ground when he's in there playing. But I don't think you're going to – none of these free agent quarterbacks is going to knock anybody's socks off. But I don't think you need that. I think you need a steady hand, an experienced hand, and a guy
That's
who
you need.
Can, you know, win every other game if he gets in there and plays.
And a guy who can play in this system.
You know?
A guy who can really come in, and it's not going to be like, man, we got to run a totally different system with this quarterback because he's nothing like the guy that we have under center as our starter. I feel like you need a smart guy that can come in here, can run this system for you, a guy who can make these throws in this system, can, you know, help out in this play action type of stuff, maybe get out of the pocket, you know, so it's not a big drop off from Tyrod Taylor. Because if you bring a guy in here who is totally different than your starting quarterback, I don't think it's a good thing for your offense because now you have to tailor things for your backup quarterback. It just doesn't make sense.
Let us know what you think. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Tony Romo leaves the door open, or did he? You know, said there's a 99% chance that he's done playing. Does he come back to play? What do you think about that? Chris tweets in, he's better than 12 starters and every backup in the NFL. Romo. Maybe. I haven't thought about it.
Say one more time, he's better than...
Better than 12 starters and every backup in the NFL, Tony Romo.
Tony Romo?
With Romo, to me, the issue was and remains his durability. How long, if you sign him, how long can you count on him to be healthy?
Exactly.
Those were serious back injuries he had a year ago.
I mean, Tony Romo, yeah, obviously, he's Tony Romo. So, yes, he's going to be better than probably any backup in this league and a lot of starters. But like you said, if you sign him, what type of money are you signing him to, number one? And how long will he be able to last for you? Now, if you're bringing him in here as a back, he's going to want money. I'm sorry, he's Tony Romo. He is going to want money if you are bringing him from CBS now to come onto your team. He's going to want money. And will he come and be the backup? I don't think so.
Yeah, he's not going to be searching out teams. Teams are going to be searching him
searching
out. He's going to be
out,
in
right.
the driver's seat for
and,
sure.
And you have to think about it like, will Tony Romo leave CBS? Even if a team called him, will he leave CBS? Let's just say the Browns called. Would he leave CBS and go there? You know, I just don't – I think he would want it to be a team where he knows he can win. You know, he's not going to go to a team that doesn't have talent on that roster, a team that might not make it to the playoffs. He wants to go to a team that man, their quarterback just went down, but we have a great group of weapons around me. We have a great defense. We can get into the playoffs. I think for him to leave CBS, it has to be like a great situation for him.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but he did leave the door open. And more tweets on this. Bill Carr tweets in, the Bills should try to get Landry Jones, but he re-signed with the Steelers. He's back with the Steelers, so he's not available. He is not a free agent anymore. Was there one more tweet? Yeah. Bob Timchak tweets in, I think we can wait to draft a quarterback until next year, maybe a better crop. Need someone between Tyrod and Cardale. Let Cardale continue to learn. I guess that's kind of my position, you know. You need a veteran between Tyrod Taylor and Cardale Jones. Right. You need to invest development time, more of it, more than they did last year in Cardale Jones, both in practice and in preseason games. You need to make sure that Tyrod's ready to play. Tyrod needs work. And you need somebody, as the Bob Timchak points out on Twitter, somebody between them, a steady hand who maybe certainly doesn't need development time and maybe doesn't need as much practice time to get ready to come in and either finish a game or to start a week if Tyrod gets hurt.
I mean, think about when we had Chris Brown on a couple days ago and he talked about how much time they needed to put in with Cardale Jones. And Coach David Lee just couldn't really find the time that he needed to put in with Cardale Jones to develop him. You know, he has so much raw ability, but he really needs development. So you need a bridge. You need a veteran to come in here behind Tyrod Taylor, a guy who can help to develop both of those guys, Tyrod and Cardale Jones. They both need to be developed into being franchise quarterbacks, as a lot of these quarterbacks coming out of college are every single year. These guys need to be developed, and you need a veteran to come in here and help that happen, because the coaching staff will not have the time once they get into the season to say, okay, practice is over now. We're going to go off and sit with Cardale Jones and do all of this stuff for an hour. They just don't have that time during the season.
803-0550, the number to call with your comments and questions, toll-free, 1-888-552-550, or you can join us via Twitter, participate in our Twitter poll. As far as the Buffalo Bills, the quarterback depth chart, do they still have work to do? Are they good where they're at? Should they add through the draft, or should they add via free agency? Ring us up, let us talk about that, or you can do it on Twitter if you'd like. Coming up on the show today, at the bottom of this hour, Charles Clay, Bills tight end, the veteran Charles Clay, going to join us in studio. Talk a little bit about these first 3 days of the off-season conditioning program here. And then coming up at 2 o'clock, we're going to talk with Mark Vandermeer, the play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans. Where do they turn at quarterback? They're looking for a starter at quarterback now. Where do the Houston Texans turn after Tony Romo goes to the broadcast booth? All of this on the table, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Players return for the off-season conditioning program on Monday. That's when Kyle Williams talked at the podium, and he talked about coming back to the Bills, you know, debatable how much he thought about not playing, but, you know, coming back for another season, and talked about what he learned from his discussions with head coach Sean McDermott, how that influenced his decision. Here's what Kyle Williams had to say a couple of days ago.
His vision for our team, for the organization, for me as a player individually, how I could help, and really just made me feel comfortable and to be quite honest, and, you know, inspired me and, you know, kind of breathed a little life into me about it, about what his view was. And, you know, when guys can do that, somebody like myself that's been around, has been through this a lot, you know, that gets you excited and ready to go.
How does he make that impression, given the fact that, I mean, you've been through a number of coaches? How does he refresh your enthusiasm and make that first impression?
I think passion, energy, the way he presents his message or his view in that realm, you know. It's not just talking about, yeah, we want to win, that's what we're going to do, but, you know, he's presenting it, he's talking about my role, he's talking about our team, he's talking about individual players in a passionate way, with a lot of energy, and ready to go, and hit the ground running, and, you know, being accountable, and disciplined, and doing the things the right way, the way that you want to do them. That speaks to my heart, so that it's easy for me to get excited.
Kyle Williams talking the other day, and Donald, just to change topics a little bit, kind of reacting to what Kyle had to say, when you think of all the coaching changes that Kyle Williams has been through, and all the different ways he's had to adapt to these new head coaches, you hear him talk like that, and, you know, obviously he's impressed by Sean McDermott, and obviously what McDermott told him on their telephone conversations had something to do with his eagerness to return, to come back, to try to, you know, play another year. Kyle going to play another year, at least. I just wonder, in his own mind, when he, you know, did he say anything negative about Rex Ryan's approach a couple of years ago? Probably not, knowing Kyle. Did he
probably not
have any thoughts on Doug Marone's, his approach 4 years ago? Mm-hmm. Probably not. I just wonder in Kyle's mind, and as a player, look, you're conscious that you always have to say, you know, the right things. But where do you get to? This is what I really think about this head coach, and how honest can you be standing at a podium like that?
Well, that's definitely the truth. How honest can you be? I think if there's anybody that will be honest, I probably think it's Kyle. You know, and Kyle is very smart. He knows that he has to say the right things, but he will throw something out there for you. You know, without saying it directly, he will throw something out there, and you're like, oh wait, what? What is he talking? I don't know if he can be as direct as you want to be. I don't know if you can ever do that until you see guys do it once they stop playing. You see some guys do it, but I just don't know if it's the smartest thing for you. You know, Kyle will give you as much as he can because he's been doing it for so long. He knows how to say things without saying the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. But as a player, man, you look at Kyle coming back. He's been through so many coaches now going into what, his 13th season. He hasn't been to the playoffs yet. He needed, like, people say, man, you're getting paid millions of dollars. Like, you shouldn't need any extra motivation to play this game. But when you're 13 years in, you haven't been to the playoffs, you've been through so many different head coaches, you need some extra motivation to say, okay, do I want to go back? And as much as you might love playing the game, but do I want to go back and go through this off-season workout, go through training camp, go through all of this stuff again if we're not going to win? So I think that Sean McDermott really probably – he probably did say some things that, you know, gave him some extra juice to come back. You know, all right, man, I like what this guy is saying.
Right.
You know, and he's smart enough because he's been through so many coaches to understand BS versus the truth and versus, like, genuine. This guy is genuine, and the things that he's saying to me, I like this. I like his vision. I think Kyle is impressed by Coach McDermott.
I guess, and you think about it in those terms, I think you're right. It's probably more likely that a coach could say the wrong thing to have Kyle Williams say,
you know what,
I'm out.
I'm done.
Trade
because he's not
away.
Doing it for
I'm
money.
Retiring. Right.
He's not doing it for money at all. You know, Kyle is happy. He has his 5 kids. He's married. I mean, I'm sure he was happy back in Louisville where he lives, right?
Louisiana.
Okay, yeah. Louisiana. I'm sure he was happy down there. But it takes a coach to say the right things and for you to really get on board, you to kind of have the same vision, the same mentality for him to say, all right, I like this dude. I think I'm going to give it one more try.
Yeah, interesting. Here's a call from Gary. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hello, John. How are you?
Good.
Question. Is there a limit of coaches that you can have on the Bills squad?
Is there a limit of coaches?
No. You mean a league limit? No. Nope.
Could they hire a coach to coach the practice squad and a special coach to coach Cardale Jones?
Sure, they could,
sit there.
Well, yeah, they could. They have a quarterback coach. I mean, they have positional coaches. And, you know, of all the position groups, quarterback is the smallest, right? Quarterbacks, tight ends. So.
Yeah. So
special teamers. So there is a guy assigned to those three.
There's going to be a quarterback coach in every team. Could you go out and hire another quarterback guru and say, we want you to just work with this guy?
Yes.
Yeah, you can do that. I don't know if any.
I don't know if it's ever been done. I'm trying to think of examples around the league where one guy is hired to basically focus on one player.
I don't know if that will ever be happen.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Well, it was just a thought because you guys are talking that there's not enough coaches to coach these guys, and maybe need someone to.
I think more than not enough coaches, there's not enough time. At least there wasn't last year to really fully integrate Cardale Jones. And once you get in the season, and Donald can speak to this, you're about winning this week. It's not
about
thinking long term. It's not you know, it's not like baseball or something. Maybe once you're eliminated from playoff contention, then the page turns a little bit. You look the next year's goals, but. During the course of a season, when you're the Bills or any team really, but if you're the Bills scrambling for a playoff spot, your coaching staff is all about this week. What are we doing this week to win this week?
Every team across the league, you're trying to win every. Even the Cleveland Browns last year. I mean, they hadn't won a game the entire season, and they were every week like, man, we need to win. Even though they were eliminated from the playoffs in like week three, they still wanted to win every single game. And so those coaches were focused on that week. That's what they do. You know, they have to – every single day you have to put together a new plan. You have to put together – you know, you're evaluating the film. You're evaluating the team that you're going to play. I mean, there's a lot that goes into every single week. Do you have extra time? to go out there and coach one player? I don't know. If you, I don't think you have that time, and that's why it was so hard for David Lee. They did their best.
Yeah.
David Lee did his best, but he didn't have real time to devote to Cardale Jones.
Our Twitter poll today deals with quarterbacks, the Buffalo Bills quarterback depth chart as it stands right now, a couple of weeks before the draft. What do you think? Do they have what they need at the quarterback position? That's our Twitter poll. That's what we start the conversation with today. Do they have what they need in terms of the numbers of quarterbacks? And if not, how do you see them enhancing that? Twitter poll is up. It's been up for about 45 minutes or so. Do the Bills, what do they have to do to complete their quarterback depth chart? 365 votes in. 64% of you say draft one, which I don't agree with. I think they should sign a veteran free agent. Option number two there, 27%, 9%, only 9% say they believe the Bills have what they need. And I outlined why you don't want to. You can draft one. If you really feel good about somebody, go ahead and draft them. But then you're going to have an issue trying to get reps. And, you know, what if Tyrod goes down? You know, what are you looking at? The options, Cardale Jones, who's barely played, or a rookie who's never played? I don't think that puts you in a good situation.
Doesn't
either.
Put you in a good situation. And it's interesting that people are saying draft one. You know, when you think big picture and you think they just signed Tyrod Taylor back, and you think about how many people were like, man, we need to just sign Tyrod Taylor back. Like, Tyrod Taylor is our guy. There's nobody else out there. Now everybody's like, draft one. It just doesn't make sense in big picture terms.
Yeah. First of all, I don't think everybody was like,
You had a lot of people. We had some callers that said, what is everybody thinking? We need a new quarterback.
Right.
But we had a lot of people that would call in and say, we need to just sign Tyrod Taylor back.
Right. And we talked about it. It was almost a 50-50 split, I thought, at least in terms of what fans thought. I also think, you know, you look at who's available to draft. Which of these quarterbacks is available and is a difference maker? I don't know that there is one. You, Donald, later on in the show at 1:30 today, you're going to take a look at some of these top quarterback prospects and DJ's prospect preview. Who are you going to look at, Donald?
We are looking at Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, and our favorite guy on this show, Chad Kelly.
Okay. And you're going to break it down and look at some of the video?
Yeah, a little bit, look at their video and some of the good things that they do, some of the bad things that they do.
DJ's prospect review.
All of these guys are really like the same, though. You know, they all have some things that they do well, but when you talk about the things that they don't do well, it's most of the quarterbacks coming out of college.
Yeah.
They all are the same way, and it's because of how the offenses in college are designed now.
All right, that's coming up later in the show. Also coming up later in the show, we're going to talk with Mark Vandermeer, the play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans. We'll get his take on the Texans losing out in the Tony Romo sweepstakes. And coming up next, Charles Clay, Bills tight end, will be live in studio with us to talk about these first 3 days of the Bills' offseason workouts underway here at One Bills Drive. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones. Hey, don't forget about the Bills Predict the Pick contest. It's sponsored by M&T Bank. Your chance to try to figure out who the Bills will select first in the NFL draft. The draft's just a couple of weeks away now. It's open today through the day before the draft on April 26th. Predict who the Bills will select first. You, if you accurately predict the Bills' first draft pick, you're entered into a drawing to meet that draft pick. There's also new era draft caps to give away, and it's all sponsored by M&T Bank. Go to buffalobills.com and enter the Predict the Pick contest on our website, buffalobills.com. John Murphy, Donald Jones from One Bills Drive, and joining us in our One Buffalo studio, just off the workout circuit and the other side of the room, happy to have tight end Charles Clay with us. Charles, thanks for coming by. Long time no see.
Thanks for having me.
How is the baby now 4 months old?
4 months old, yeah. She's doing good, man. I mean, every day she's starting to interact with a little more, so it's exciting, man. I'm itching to get back home and play with her. Hopefully she's not asleep when I get back.
So were you here the offseason? Were you in Florida? Where were you?
I was here for a little while, and then I went back home to Arkansas. Yeah, so my family could get a chance to be around her and, you know, also help, you know, whenever me and my wife wanted to go out and, you know, eat or whatever. You know, I had somebody to watch her. So it worked out good. Like I said, I had a family around. It was a good feeling.
So now you got – they're here, though, in Buffalo. The baby
They're here.
Okay.
It's been good, man.
You look – I got to say, you look different. You look like – you know, you've had the baby 4 months. You look like – You look like a happy, fulfilled man.
I am.
I can tell that.
I definitely am. It's definitely, I'd say easily, probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
It gives you a sense of purpose every morning. You wake up and you see her smile. And it's just a great feeling, man. Like I said, I'm enjoying it. Definitely enjoying it.
Well, how does it feel to get back up here and around the guys?
It's been great, man. Ever since last season been over with, I've been kind of itching. I mean, it's good to kind of get away for a little while, but at some point you're just itching to get back and get back to work. So it's been good being around these guys. They're like family now. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're away for a while and just been ready to get back. So obviously everybody came back ready to work. So it's been great.
Obviously you have excitement to get back, you know, day one. But then is there a point where it's like, all right, the excitement dies down and now it's just work as usual?
It gets to that point, you know, after a while. But, you know, you had to focus on why we're here and mm-hmm. you know, the goal at hand. And you know, that's pretty much what keeps you going. And, you know, we all have high expectations for this year. And we know you can't achieve those if you don't put in the work. So kind of what keeps guys going.
With Bills tight end Charles Clay joins us after his off-season conditioning workout today. How are these workouts differ from what you were doing before you got here? What's different about it? It's pretty rigorous as we watch, you know, from the sidelines.
It definitely is. I mean, before you get here, you're slowly kind of building yourself back. You can't just jump right into, you know, doing all the things that you do here because, you know, you take a little time off and, you know, the last thing you do, like you said, you got to get your body back tuned to go. And once you get here, you know, you kind of, you know, you had a conditioning test and you kind of hit the ground running. So once you get here, you're pretty much going. And up until before this point, you're kind of just getting your body back into it.
You got and we watch, as we say from the sidelines, you got the sledgehammers on the big truck tires,
yeah.
You know, tractor tires. You got the big exercise balls, the medicine balls. There's just a lot going on and kind of a circuit that the strength conditioning staff put you through on a pretty fast pace.
It is, man. But, I mean, like you said, it's pretty rigorous, man. A lot of different things. Like you said, the sledgehammers and, you know, you got the battle ropes and you got different stations and each one challenges you in a different way. So it's a different kind of work, but it's also good. You know, like you say, it pushes you mentally and physically.
I don't see a football in sight. Is there any football going on right now?
A little bit, you know, kind of away from here, you get a chance to kind of throw around with the QBs and stuff like that. But at this point, you know, most of it is just, you know, trying to get used to the verbiage and things like that, this new offense and stuff. And afterwards and things like that, we'll get out there and kind of walk through some stuff. But for the most part, everybody's just trying to get the base stuff down right now.
Is there meeting time, classroom time built into this week? How much of there is of that is there?
Yeah, we spend a couple of hours every day, you know, kind of going through the cadence and all the basic stuff about this offense. Like I say, a couple of hours every day. So it's coming along really good, and I'm excited about this year.
At this point in the year, how are things different from this point last year? You know, under Rex Ryan, not to bash Rex Ryan or anything like that, but this point last year to this point to now, how are things different?
You could say the mindset. I feel like everything is a lot more detailed kind of now, and not to say that it wasn't, but I probably just the mindset and the way that McDermott likes to lead is kind of different. So it's an adjustment for guys who aren't used to, you know, having a guy who's so detail oriented, where I gotta make sure I'm saying this the correct way, but I'd just say that's probably the biggest difference is that. So,
Bills tight end Charles Clay in studio with us. Does Coach McDermott remind you of any coaches you've had in the past, and either in the NFL or college or anywhere else?
I mean, I've had coaches that's kind of similar. My time in Miami, I had a guy who was kind of detail-oriented in some ways like him. But by far, he's probably the most detailed guy I've probably ever been around. But at the same time, he's a guy you can have a conversation with. And, I mean, he's a really cool guy off the field and things like that. So he's obviously so far been great to work with.
When you say detail, are you referring to, like, what the offense looks like, or is it other stuff? Is it, you know, work habits, practice habits?
It's just everything. Scheduling, like you say, work habits. I mean, everything gets structured in a manner to where it's run smoothly. Not to say that, you know, I don't like to say that anything else wasn't, but it's just a little different for a lot of guys. And obviously, you know, I'm so far I'm enjoying it. So,
tell me about, you have a position coach too that you're getting to know, Rob Boris, new tight ends coach. What's he like, and what have you gotten from him so far?
He's been great, man. I mean, he's a guy who's been around, you know, coaching tight ends, you know, for 10 plus years. So he's obviously a guy that I can learn a tremendous amount from. I mean, he's coached some of the best tight ends in the league. So just getting a chance to sit around and pick his brain has been exciting. You know, I can't wait to get out on the field with him. Right now it's just, you know, more classroom stuff and just basically trying to learn the stuff, but learn the playbook and things like that. But when we get to the point where we can learn the fundamentals and the footwork and things like that from him is what I'm excited about. So,
back when – you know, we were going through this whole thing trying to figure out if they were going to end up signing Tyrod Taylor back. Then they end up signing him back. What was your thought process when you heard that he was coming back?
I was excited, man. The entire time, you know, deep down, I was like, man, I hope they bring him back, because you don't want to take a step backwards in that regards and have to start over and kind of start building that chemistry. I felt like, you know, especially toward the end of last year, we really started kind of getting the ball rolling, and I just wanted to kind of get a chance to build on that. So the more I get to work with him, the more comfortable we feel. So obviously having him back has been great, man. He's a tremendous talent, and he pushes guys in a lot of ways. So it's real good to have him back.
Yeah, last year it took a while for you kind of to get to, you know, have the role that you need to have in this offense, right? You didn't find the end zone until December, the Pittsburgh game, and then you had Cleveland and Miami, some pretty big productive games for you. What do you think took so long to get it ramped up last year?
It's tough to say, man. I mean, in the offense that we ran, we would always say playing tight end is like that. Some games you'll have to, your number be called to catch the ball, and in some games you might have to stay in and help in protection on, you know, who knows who the defensive end is. Sometimes you'll have to sit in and run block more. It just depends on game plan deals. And, you know, like you said, that's just kind of how it started. I don't think it was any kind of coincidence or anything. Mm-hmm. I just think that's kind of how it went towards the end of the year. So.
Once it got going, you had to feel pretty good. Like, I do have a role to play. I do have contributions.
Oh, yeah, it's always. I mean, I tell people all the time, every offensive player they wants the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, every offensive player is selfish in his own right. But end of the day, to win is the most important thing. But, you know, once I got the chance to start getting the ball, yeah, you definitely get excited about that.
We did a Twitter poll, I think, last week, maybe the week before, and we talked a lot about the number two wide receiver on this team.
You know,
right?
Woods is gone. Right. Goodwin is gone. There's a hole there.
There's a hole there. And so you got to figure out who's going to be the number two wide receiver. You have a lot of people saying you need to draft the number two wide receiver. For me personally, and it's not to, like, pat you on the back because you're sitting here or anything like that. but I feel like you can be the number two wide receiver in this new scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you can carry that load?
It's no question I do. Especially, you know, the work I put in every offseason, coming here every day is to be, you know, that guy. If my number's called on, you know, I'm trying to come through every single time. So it's definitely no doubt in my mind that I can be, you know, whether, like I say, you just kind of control what you can, but mm-hmm. I'm definitely preparing, you know, for that, and I definitely feel like I could be that guy. So.
What do you know about the design of this new offense, Rick Dennison and his offense? What role is there for a tight end to play, and do you use multiple tight end sets in this offense?
It's multiple tight end sets, but the tight end is multiple in a lot of different ways. You can line up at fullback. You can line out wide. You'll be all over the place. Yeah, it's very game plan specific, so it obviously depends on who you play, but tight end definitely has to be multiple in this offense, and it's definitely something I'm excited about because I feel like that's obviously one of my strong suits is being able to move around a lot. So it's definitely something I'm excited about, and like I said, I can't wait to get on the field and start working.
You know, from watching you with the Dolphins your first 4 years in the league to now, I feel like, and maybe it's just the focus of the Buffalo offense, I feel like you are a better blocker now than you were maybe those first 4 years in Miami. Is that true?
It's no question. I mean, it's definitely something over the years, especially coming out of college, it wasn't my strong suit at the time. But I've had a chance to work with some really good coaches and watch some really good players and kind of learn the ins and outs of, you know, like I said, the footwork and hat placement and things like that. And, you know, just having a chance to work with a lot of guys and learn from them and pick their brains has helped me a lot. So,
obviously, there's technique and blocking, but is it more technique or is it just like a will to, I want to do this?
A lot of it is actually your will. You have to want to block. And I still remember coming out of college and guys would always say, you know, it's a lot of tight ends in the league that just don't want to block. Mm-hmm. And I never wanted to be just considered that pass-catching guy. Like, that always bothered me. So it's definitely something I always put a lot of work in. And it's a lot of technique involved as well, a lot of footwork. And, you know, you can want to as bad as you want. I mean, as bad as ever, but you take the wrong first step and you just mm-hmm. won't get it done. So. It's a lot of technique involved as well, but it is a lot of want to, too.
Hey, Charles, you've said a couple of times today about putting in the work. It strikes me that where we are right now, where this team is right now this week and next week, this is the work part, it feels like, right? I mean, there's no, as Donald pointed out, there's no footballs flying around really out there. You guys are coming to work here.
Oh, yeah, it's no question. You definitely got it. Like I said, you had to get your body back into it because, you know, a week and a half from now, you know, we're back out on the field and it's go time then, so you got to get your body back ramped up to, you know, prevent those injuries and things like that. So that's definitely what we don't want to have. So definitely got to get your body back into it. So, like I said, it takes some work.
Great to have you back. Congratulations again on your daughter, 4 months old now. And we'll talk. I'm sure we'll get you in here again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. Charles Clay, Bills tight end, joining us in the middle of the Bills' first week of the offseason conditioning program. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, here until 3 o'clock. Donald Jones, DJ, is going to have his prospect breakdown coming up after the top of the hour. A look at the quarterbacks. Hey, everybody loves talking about quarterbacks. Donald's looked at those quarterbacks, going to break down some of the video, talk a little bit about what he has seen from his video study. That's coming up at 1 o'clock, so you can weigh in on that. Good to have Charles Clay in, one of the good guys, really good guys on this good Buffalo roster. A couple of tweets on this Bills Fan for Life tweets in. Please ask Charles Clay why he's not used as much as he should be, please. There is that perception, Donald, and I can't necessarily disagree with that. The numbers, however, you know, Charles Clay had 57 catches last year. He had 51 the year before. 2 years before that with Miami, he had 58 and 69. He didn't get going until late into the season. Didn't catch a touchdown pass until the Steelers game, December 11th last year. And so that was a problem. It's not. I don't know that the numbers, Clay's numbers last year, and even the year before, truly reflect maybe the what people expect from him. Look, let's put the money aside. You know, we know the story. They had to sign him to that contract to get him off the Miami roster onto the Buffalo roster. They were determined to do that. They got him. He's never going to be Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski. But I would argue that he has been fairly productive, but there is also a sense for me, and you may agree or disagree, that there's more that they can get from Charles Clay, and maybe we got a glimpse of that with his late-season production last year.
You know, for me, there's a lot more that we can get from Charles Clay. And these are one of those instances where, you know, people throw out stats and everything, and it's like, well, these are the numbers. And it's like, yeah, I understand how many receptions he had this past season. And you look back, he's averaged somewhere around 60 receptions.
Yeah,
he's right around
55, 60 receptions a year the last 4 or 5 years.
Now, the biggest thing is the routes that he was actually asked to run last year. You know, it was all stop routes. It was all hitches and where he's not catching the ball and running with it. And that's what you want to see a guy like that do. Because he is big, because he is fast enough, because he can catch and run, you want to see him catch the ball on the move and be able to keep it going. And so in this new offense, I hope that they use him a lot more. You see tight ends across the league being used in different ways down the field, across the middle of the field, deep across the middle of the field, even things like tight end screens where they can catch the ball and run with it. That's what you want to see out of Charles Clay, not just always stop routes. Obviously, he can work a linebacker. He can work a safety. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be faster and more athletic than a linebacker. He's going to probably be bigger and more athletic than a safety, you know. So he can work both of those guys. He can pick up first downs for you. But you want to see this guy get down the field, catch the ball, and score touchdowns for you.
Down the seam. I mean, everybody's in my mind, maybe yours, the Charles Clay play you want to see, and we saw it in his first year, right down the middle of the field,
that's
down
what you
the
want
seam,
to see.
Catching a long touchdown or a long pass at least. So what do we know at this early stage? And I don't have a good sense of what this offense will look like, but what do we know about Rick Dennison's offense and what Sean McDermott wants them to play, and how Charles Clay might be able to change and adapt to more of that kind of
thing? You know, even when you hear him talk about it, he talked about a lot more like two tight end sets, two tight ends, two wide receiver sets. I think in this type of offense, the tight ends will be used to get down the seam. They will be used in deep over, deep crossing type of routes. And that's what you want to see from him, because that's when he can catch the ball and run. The play action stuff, obviously he's going to have to help out in the passing game. I mean, in the running game. He's going to have to do that. And he's done pretty well. Exactly. We heard the coaches last year talked about how good he was in that area of his game. But I don't know if you're going to see as much hitches and stop routes out of Charles Clay as you did last year. I think it's going to be a lot more down the field. I think the coaching staff looked at last year, especially late in the season last year, when he was catching the ball and running and scoring touchdowns, they looked at that, and I'm sure they're saying, like, man, this dude can catch, he can run, we have to be able to get him the ball. And then getting down in the red zone, he's a big target. He's even a guy who you can probably split out wide against a safety and say, we're going to throw it up to you. Jump up and catch the ball. And I'm pretty sure he can get it done.
The Bills' tight end depth chart right now with these 61 players on the roster now includes, obviously, Charles Clay, Nick O'Leary back for his second year. Yeah, it'll be his second full year. His practice squad first year.
Yep.
Blake Annan comes back, still on the roster, although I see him kind of working on the sidelines during these first few days. And Logan Thomas, intriguing prospect from Virginia Tech, the former Hokies quarterback, who he's a prospect.
Yeah.
He's a project.
But he's an athlete. Yeah, he's a guy to keep your eye on because he's an athlete, because he can run a little bit. You've seen him run as a quarterback, you know. So now it's the point of becoming a true tight end and running routes and learning how to catch the ball. He said he did it, you know, in high school and somewhat, I believe, when he first got to Virginia Tech. Then they moved into quarterback, maybe. Don't quote me on that. But he's a guy who's athletic. He can get down the field. Can he catch the ball? Can he be consistent? Yeah. That's the biggest question mark with him.
That's what you're talking about when you talk about Bills tight ends. And we'll talk more about the design of the Buffalo offense tomorrow with head coach Sean McDermott. He's going to join us in studio tomorrow at 1 o'clock right here on the show as the off-season conditioning program continues. Quarterbacks. We're talking about quarterbacks, and we'll continue that discussion in just a couple of minutes. And Donald Jones will break down his top quarterback prospects in this year's draft class. Maybe there's somebody there with the Buffalo Bills. Donald will look at the video and let us know what he thinks. He already has looked at the video. That's coming up next, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive, day three of the Bills' off-season conditioning program. One more day this week, and then they return next week to begin another 4 days of off-season workouts. We'll be live with Bills' new head coach, Sean McDermott, tomorrow on the show at 1 o'clock to talk about the progress of the offseason workout so far. Bills wrapping things up right about now after meetings and time and conditioning and weightlifting work here at One Bills Drive. The Bills also are exercising their option to host about 30 prospects in before the draft. The draft now just about 3 weeks away. Reportedly, one of those prospects in today, this week, is outside linebacker Tim Williams of Alabama. He is an edge pass rush specialist. Williams, 3 years with the Crimson Tide, 27 tackles, 12 sacks in that total. Tim Williams reportedly in to visit the Bills on a pre-draft visit. Tony Romo announced yesterday he's retiring, moving on to CBS. And in a conference call yesterday to discuss his retirement, Romo said he doesn't envision returning to the NFL, but said it's about 99% certain that he is done. Pro day at Louisiana State today. Leonard Fournette weighed in at 228 pounds, 12 pounds lighter than his weigh-in at the combine, his 240-pound weigh-in at the combine that raised some eyebrows. So that might shed some of the concerns about Leonard Fournette as a draft prospect. Dallas has emerged as a favorite to host the 2018 NFL draft at the Cowboys' new training facility. Philadelphia also in contention, with Kansas City and Green Bay considered long shots. Amazon getting into NFL broadcasting. The retailing giant has won the rights to stream Thursday Night Football game for the upcoming season. The deal to stream the games, will be simulcast on either CBS, NBC, and the NFL Network, is worth $50 million. Buffalo Sabres play their home finale tonight, home at 7:30, to host the Montreal Canadiens. It's Fan Appreciation Night at the arena. Buffalo Jack Eichel, 35 points in 31 home games this season. Robin Leonard will start in goal. Linus Allmark has been called up to back him up. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, talking about quarterbacks today, including our Twitter poll. Let's revisit that. Our Twitter poll deals with quarterbacks and the Bills quarterback depth chart. We want to hear from you. Do you think they are finished adding quarterbacks to this roster? What do the Bills have to do to complete their quarterback depth chart? We've got about 450 votes in via Twitter so far. 64% of you say they should draft a quarterback. 28% say they should sign a veteran free agent. 8% say they have what they need. What do they have at the quarterback spot right now? They have three of them, including the incumbent, Tyrod Taylor, backed up by Cardale Jones going into his second year, and then rookie Josh Woodrum from Liberty University also has not played. Is that enough? What do they need to do to complete their quarterback depth chart? Give us a call, 803-0550, or toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it via Twitter, at John Murphy Show. If you're going to draft Donald Jones back here to co-host with us. If you're going to draft, there are some interesting quarterback prospects here. Look, we've had so many people tell us that, including Bill Polian, that none of the quarterbacks this year are worth a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Can we agree on that to start with?
I think we can agree on that. These guys are all, you know, good prospects, but I don't know if they're all worth going at number 10 to the Bills. And to be honest with you, in the first round at all, unless they end up going in the last maybe 10 picks of the first round where they can go to a team that has a bona fide franchise quarterback that they can sit behind and learn from. So I just don't think that any of these guys are ready to come in and start right away, which that's what you ask of your first round top 10 quarterback. You ask him to come in and play right away, and none of them are ready.
Some of them are going to be drafted.
They are going to be drafted, yes.
Day one of the NFL draft, 3 weeks from tomorrow on Thursday, April 27th. First round on the first day of the draft. I would guess, this would be a good over and under. I would bet three quarterbacks go in the first round. Think I'm too
over
high
under
there.
At three?
Yeah. What do you think? Over or under? I say right at three. Over and under, 2.5. I say over. What about you? What do you think? First round, 3 weeks from tomorrow, how many quarterbacks are going?
I'm going to go right at three. I do think that one of the quarterbacks that people are talking about is not going to end up going in the first round, though.
Who's that, Kizer?
Kizer.
Tell me why.
I think when you watch Kizer and you watch his film and what his coach even said about him yesterday or the day before when Brian Kelly said that he's not ready, I think that's really going to hurt him. And I think when you watch his film, he's not ready to play at all. The rest of these guys have, you know, even Trubisky, even though he's only played in 1 year, he just looks more pro-ready than Kizer does to me.
All right, let's get to these players then. It is 3 weeks to the draft, and it's time for DJ's prospect preview. Donald has taken a look at a lot of these prospects, and we've isolated it down to four quarterbacks to take a look at in DJ's prospect preview.
Prospect preview. Kind of a tongue twister there.
DJ's prospect preview. Let's start with Mitch Trubisky, who may be the number one quarterback in the draft. What do you think of him?
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
When you look at Mitch Trubisky, who does he remind you of?
I haven't looked at him a whole lot.
He likes to run around a lot, and he's really a gunslinging type of guy.
He doesn't remind me of anybody that would be a top 10 pick in the draft or anybody.
No.
It doesn't remind me of a franchise quarterback, so it's hard for me. That's why it's hard to identify who he reminds me of.
Now,
I don't know.
We talk
Andy
about
Dalton, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is not as mobile as Trubisky is. Trubisky is a lot more mobile than people think. He does like to run around. He does like to improvise and make plays. So with that, and people are going to say, what? If he reminds you of Tony Romo, you need to take him in the first round. But I'm just talking about his style of play. He likes to run around just like Tony Romo does, improvise, and throw the ball from all different angles and make plays, you know. And for me, I think that's what's intriguing because he has arm strength. That's what's intriguing to these scouts and these teams about him, the fact that he likes to run around and make those types of plays.
So he's an athlete.
He is an athlete, yeah. He is more of an athlete than people think he is.
What about arm strength and arm talent? What do you think?
I think his arm strength and arm talent is another thing because you do see him make – some throws. You really do see him make some throws, some NFL type of throws on time. I think that's probably the biggest reason why people say he's the most NFL ready of all of these guys. Even Deshaun Watson is not as NFL ready, even though he's played in the biggest games and performed. And this guy makes NFL throws. He just only played in 11 games, which is going to be, or one season, which is going to be his knock, you know. So I think Mitch Trubisky is probably the most NFL-ready of these guys. He does make throws. He does make the type of throws that you want to see him make. He does make those deep out routes. He does throw on time over the middle of the field. He will make a throw into coverage. That's why I called him a gunslinging type of guy. He will make a throw into coverage. He just has to make sure that he's not throwing a whole lot of interceptions. And if he's not throwing a whole lot of interceptions, then he'll end up a great quarterback in this league, you know, and I think that's a plus for him.
Big risk, I would think, to take with a guy who you've only seen him in one season, so there's not a whole lot of evidence on what he could be as a quarterback, Mitch Trubisky we're talking about. And, you know, I hear you talk about his athleticism, but throwing the football is really the name of the game. Does he have, you know, the arm strength? Does he have the accuracy that you would need? And obviously you can work on that, but, you know, people always say it's hard to improve accuracy.
It's definitely hard to improve accuracy. I think he does have accuracy. I do. I think he has accuracy. You'll see him make throws, like, on time right in the guy's breadbasket, and that's what you want to see from a guy. He does have that accuracy. I think his biggest knock is that he hasn't played in enough games. So do you draft a guy in the top 10 that's only played in one season? That's the biggest question.
All right, so the good parts, the positive aspects of Mitch Trubisky, North Carolina quarterback, what do you see there?
The positive parts of him?
Yes. What's good
I think
about
him? The good thing is that he – obviously can make the throws. That's the most – that's what everybody asks. Can he make these throws? Can he make the deep out? Can he make the deep comeback? Does he throw on time? He'll do that as well. And I think that's a plus. The fact that he can improvise, I think that's another plus. I think that is huge, the fact that he can run around and make throws like Tony Romo. That's why I talked about comparing him to Tony Romo. He can make it on time, but if the play breaks down, he can also make a play outside of the pocket. Those are the biggest things that – you know, he really has going for him.
The bad things. What are the weaknesses of Mitch Trubisky's game right now?
He will stare down a receiver, and that's you can't do that in this league. If you stare down a guy, he is going to get hurt. If you stare down a guy, you're going to throw interceptions. It's going to get tipped. Something bad is going to happen. So he will stare a guy down, and then there are a lot of times where he won't set his feet. He'll just throw off his back foot because he has some arm strength. And so that's not good as – that's not good either in this league. You have to set your feet and put your whole body into the throw. Get your hips and everything involved.
He might have arm strength to get by in the
in
ACC.
College. In ACC, exactly. In college where guys are not as smart as they are on this level. Because everybody is fast, but the guys are not as smart as they are on this level, especially in the ACC. So he has the arm strength, and he can do it there. Once you get here, you have to set your feet and put your arm, put your hips, put everything into that throw.
All right, Mitch Trubisky, it's DJ's Prospect Watch. We're going through the quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks being mentioned. Maybe there's one here for the Bills, although I have to say, Donald, when I hear you talk about Trubisky, I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to bet my franchise future on Mitch Trubisky at this point.
I don't think you're betting your – I don't think you can bet your franchise future on a guy who's only played in one season.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that. You need for him to sit behind another guy so for a couple of years, and I'm talking about like – a couple of years for him to really learn how to play in this league. Another thing that he doesn't do, you've never seen him do, is take the ball from under center, drop back in a play action, which the Bills were going to do a lot of play action, drop back, take his eyes off of the defense, and then once he does that play action, get his eyes back to the defense and make a throw. You've never seen him do that or any of these college quarterbacks. These guys like to come from the shotgun, and that's what they do best.
Mitch Trubisky, we dealt with him. Now, the number two quarterback on many people's list is a kind of a familiar name in this quarterback class this year, Deshaun Watson from Clemson. You know, a lot of people thought he was going to be the number one pick in the draft, but I don't know if this stock has dropped, but the more people look at Deshaun Watson, they see some of the holes in his game. Just an overview of Deshaun Watson from Clemson. What do you see from Deshaun Watson, Donald?
Deshaun Watson is the same. Now, I'll compare Deshaun Watson to Tyrod Taylor. He's a guy who can run around. When you watch his film, he'll run, he'll shake guys down the field, he'll even take it the distance, which we've seen Tyrod Taylor do. I don't know if he's as fast as Tyrod Taylor, but he's not the tallest guy like Tyrod Taylor. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but he can make good throws down the field, his touch down the field. And that's what, you know, people talk about guys having the biggest arm. You don't have to have the biggest arm to be a good downfield thrower in this league. You just have to have the right touch and understand the right place to put it. He'll drop some dimes down the field. I'm talking right over the guy's outside shoulder, which is where you want to put it. Plus, he's played in the biggest stages. You know, he's played against the best defense in the land and played very well against them twice and beat them this past year. So I think that's really what he has going for him.
When Deshaun Watson lines up and to other, you know, on an NFL field, he's not going to blow anybody away with his stature, right? 6'2", 221 pounds. It's not a strong suit. I know he's a great athlete, but he's not going to blow anybody away with that stature.
No, he's not going to blow anybody away with that stature. But we've seen shorter quarterbacks that don't, you know, not your normal stature that you're talking about, 6'4", 6'5". We've seen these guys be able to get it done in this league. I think, you know, obviously he needs some development as well because he – just like Trubisky, just like the rest of these quarterbacks, do not take the ball from under center, you know, and he's done all shotgun. He hasn't been a guy who's come in and had to really get into a huddle and call a play and do a lot of different audibles. But I think with his talent and just that it factor, and I know you're going to say, what is the it factor? That it factor, I think he'll be able to, at some point in his career, be a good quarterback in this league.
Okay. All right, the strengths and weaknesses. Let's start with the strengths of Deshaun Watson, the Clemson quarterback. Sounds like the one thing that you may like the most about him is his athleticism, right? His ability to move around a little bit.
Yeah, I do like his athleticism. I do like his ability to move around. For me, the biggest thing is not his ability to move around. I think it's his ability to win on the biggest stages. I think, and that's the it factor for me. Mm-hmm. His ability to perform on the biggest stages, I think that just, when you talk about quarterbacks coming out of college, if you can win on the biggest stages, if you can play against the best defenses in the land, I think for me, he's a guy who you would want on your team, even if he came to this team, and I'm not saying draft him at number 10, it's way too high. But if you were to have a guy like that who was won on the biggest stage, that's what you want on your team because he's not going to get flustered in coming into this league.
All right. That's his strengths, his experience, really.
His experience, yeah.
What about his weaknesses?
His weaknesses are just like everybody else. His obviously, you know, he doesn't take the ball from under center. He's not the biggest guy. So can he get it done? Yeah, he can get it done. He got it done in the ACC, but can he get it done on this level? I think another weakness is he'll stare down a receiver as well. You have to be able to look at everybody, look at all your progressions. He'll stare down a receiver. He'll stare down a guy like Mike Williams, who was his number one threat. He knew he was going to Mike Williams, and he knew Mike Williams in college would come up with those catches. And so he was able to do that and stare those guys down. But once he gets to this league, can you go from the huddle to the line of scrimmage, do audibles and everything that you're going to be asked to do at this level, take the ball from under center sometimes, not always in the shotgun. Take your eyes from off the take your eyes off the defense, do your play action, then get your eyes back to those safeties and make the same throws. That's going to be his biggest question mark, just like the rest of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, they all need experience.
They all need experience, and they all need NFL experience coming from under center.
All right, DJ's Prospect Watch. We've talked about two of the quarterbacks, and let's talk about a third one, Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
What do you see from him in general? And I think you said, was it a week or two ago on the show, you said, don't be surprised if Patrick Mahomes winds up in the first round also.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think because obviously with the arm strength, and people really get hung up on arm strength just like they do with receivers running a 4.22 and John Ross, who I wouldn't even sniff. No, I'm just with you. But Pat Mahomes can throw the ball deep down the field. Now, he's athletic. For me, I compare him to in stature. The dude is like 6'4", 6'5", big prototype stature that you want in this league, but he can run around and he can improvise as well like a Cam Newton. I compare him more to like a Cam Newton. He's not the fastest guy, but he will score touchdowns. You see him a lot in college when he, just like Cam Newton, they use him as like an extra running back down there. You know, they give him the ball and say, pound it in there, and he'll score touchdowns for them. I think he does run around a lot and throw the ball down the field. He'll drop some dimes as well. He really will drop some dimes, but he has some weaknesses as well.
What are the weaknesses you see from Patrick Mahomes?
His weaknesses are he won't set his feet all the time because he plays in Texas Tech's offense, and we know over the years, I mean, that's probably the most spread out offense in all of football. That offense, I mean, guys are just, I don't know, guys are like coming off the sidelines catching passes. It's so spread out. He'll run around a lot, throw the ball down the field. He doesn't play within the framework of their offense a lot. He plays a lot outside the framework. And then you see a lot of throws from him are just wide receiver screens and guys going. So when you look at his stats, it's like, man, this dude put up numbers. but he threw a lot of wide receiver screens, and those guys would take it to the house. You know, so he has the arm strength, but how much NFL throws has he made? I don't know if he's made really NFL throws. He just throws the ball down the field or out in wide receiver screens.
I read one analysis said he sometimes looks like he's playing, you know,
street football. Yeah, because he just will run around.
Yeah.
He'll run around, and then just throw it down the field. And his arm strength is so good that he'll flick it, just a flick of the wrist, and it's going, you know, 50 yards down the field. But we need you to play within the framework of the offense and throw on time. He doesn't do that.
And yet, could be a first-rounder?
And yet he could be a first-rounder because when you talk about the draft, you're drafting guys on projections, right? You're drafting guys on what you feel like they can be in, obviously, as a rookie, but 3 or 4 years from now, what can this guy be? So when you look at his size, his stature, standing at 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", maybe, and you look at his arm strength, a coach is going to say, I think we can develop this kid. And when you look at what he did at his pro day, and you look at how many teams are desperate for a quarterback, a la Houston at 25, I think they'll take that chance. They'll have Tom Savage as their guy starting out. But they'll say, we might be able to work this guy.
Going through the quarterbacks with Donald Jones, DJ's prospect watch 3 weeks before the start of the NFL draft. This next quarterback, I don't think he's on anybody's board as a potential number one, but there is local interest in Chad Kelly, who grew up here, played at St. Joe's Collegiate Institute. He's had the injury history. He's had the off-field incidents. And he had a sore wrist just the other day, Monday, in his pro day. So there are some red flags and a lot of question marks about Chad Kelly, but certainly a team that is on, I'm sure, some teams' draft boards over the next 3 weeks here.
Yeah, Chad Kelly, I think, is the most interesting prospect of them all, just because you've heard people like Mike Mayock talk about this guy really has, you know, first and second round talent, but everything else really just takes away from his talent on the field, you know. And you're not just talking about the off-the-field issues, but you're talking about injuries. You're talking about a guy coming off a knee injury. Are you ready to deal with that right now, along with those off-the-field issues? Are you ready to deal with the knee injury? You don't know where that's going to be once he's only 6 months right now out of a knee surgery, and then he comes into his pro day, and he hurts his wrist, you know, his throwing wrist. And so now they're going to say, can this guy hold up? We don't know if he can hold up. He has off-the-field issues. Can he hold up on the field? That's a lot of question marks right there. So you're talking about a guy who can play, a guy who is good, who can make all of the throws, NFL throws. He has the pedigree. We know it. He's Jim Kelly's nephew. But can he hold up, and will he stay out of trouble off the field?
The positives for Chad Kelly include his arm strength, right?
Yes.
I mean, people talk about that as one of the strengths for Chad Kelly.
Yeah, Chad Kelly has a big arm. He's a guy you see him make. Now, he had a lot of weapons down there in Ole Miss. He had a lot of receivers. He had Laquan Treadwell. He had some dudes that he can really throw the ball to. And he would throw the ball down the field to him. And you see him just like, you know, Pat Mahomes, he'll flick the ball down the field with ease. You know, he just has a very strong arm. He'll play outside the pocket a lot. They did a lot of, like, semi-rollout type of stuff from the gun, and he was good at it. You know, I think his arm strength probably is his biggest attribute.
What about weaknesses for Chad Kelly?
You know, Chad Kelly's weaknesses are everything I talked about in the beginning, because I think on the field he can – I think on the field Chad Kelly is probably one – he might be better than all of these guys. He really might be better than all of these guys when you talk about talent. But his weaknesses are all off the field and injuries for me. And you look at him on the field, he might stare down some receivers. It's inconsistent because obviously he'll stare down receivers sometimes, but then you'll see him go through progressions. And it's like you need to be consistent at doing that. And then once again, just like the rest of these quarterbacks coming out of college, everything was from the gun. Everything was from the gun, and he hasn't been coming from under center. That's something he's going to have to work on.
And we should clarify, when you say off the field, at least in my mind, it's beyond off the field now. I would think the biggest red flag about Chad Kelly now is the injury history, right? With the wrist the other day at his pro day, the ACL just last November, injuries prior to that. I mean, that would be, if I were a team looking at Chad Kelly, that would be a key for me. Like, what's his health? What's his physical look like? When is he going to be fully recovered from the knee? Those would be big issues.
I mean, when you hear about why the combine started, going back to look at why the combine start, it was all about the medical check. And you hear different trainers talk about that's the most important part. GMs talk about this is the most important part of the combine, the medical history. And then you have a guy like this who's been through so much, and he wasn't able to go to the combine because of off the field stuff. Then he still had the knee issue. He gets to his pro day. The knee didn't look bad, but then he hurts his throwing wrist. doing nothing. Like, he didn't fall or any, he didn't get hit or anything like that. He hurts his throwing wrist. It's a red flag. Teams will go back and say, wow, can this guy hold up once he gets to mini camp? Can he hold up once he gets to training camp and get through a full season? Do we want to waste a draft pick on a guy like this?
Somebody's going to draft Chad Kelly. Somebody's going to draft Chad Kelly, I think. Hold their breath, A, that he's healthy, B, that he, you know, walks a straight line and stays out of trouble, and see how he develops. And they might be pleasantly surprised.
It will probably be a team that obviously has a quarterback, a team that has a bunch of draft picks. You know, I don't think it would be a team like the Bills that only have 6 draft picks. It would be a team that has, like Cleveland, that has, you know, all of the draft picks in the entire draft. They would go ahead and spend one on Chad Kelly, but hold their breath, like you said, and hope that, you know, he can develop into being that guy.
We've talked a lot about how it doesn't fit really with Buffalo. He grew up here. He's got the weight of his uncle's reputation here. Mm-hmm. Might make it difficult for him to be a Buffalo Bill.
You know, it's going to be difficult for him anywhere he goes. It's going to be difficult just because of who he is, the family that he comes from. So for him to come here to Buffalo, it just makes it that – it amplifies things because he's here in Buffalo. Jim Kelly played here. He's a Hall of Famer here. So many people have called in. They want us to draft him. The pressure that will be on him will be immense, and I don't know if he can handle that at this point in his career.
And yet, and I also think this, he'll be drafted, and he'll be drafted higher than we think sitting here three weeks before.
Seriously,
I think it'll be higher than we think. What is he now? Sixth, seventh round pick?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
Would not surprise me if he's off the board fourth round, third round. Just because of what you see and what you talked about.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you hear people talk about his talent. They're always overdrafted. You talk about his talent, you might get a team that says, you know what, we'll take a chance on this guy and see if he can really hold up. And it can happen. Don't be surprised if it happens.
Donald's DJ's Prospect Watch. We've talked about Trubisky, Watson, Mahomes, and Chad Kelly. And, you know, Kelly's kind of further down on the prospect list. Anybody else we didn't really deal with? I'm wondering, you know, Nathan Peterman had a pretty good week, I believe, at the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not a first, maybe not even a second or third rounder, but somewhere the Pittsburgh quarterback's going to get some attention, I would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's 3 guys. Davis Webb, Nathan Peterman, and Brad Kaya that you hear people talk about. Nathan Peterman, Chris Brown even said, like, none of these guys really just, like, knocked your socks off. But he had a decent week down there. So I would think that he's going to get drafted, too. I would think he would probably be somewhere, like, fifth, sixth, seventh round, Nathan Peterman. Brad Kaya, I've heard some good things about Brad Kaya. I've heard that he's NFL ready. Now, he's not going to go very high. He might be one of those 4th, 5th round quarterbacks that ends up starting somewhere, and he might end up being a good guy, a good quarterback.
DJ's Prospect Watch. You've done receivers and today quarterbacks, and we want to put you to work doing another position. What do you want to do next? Position group. What would you like to talk about?
Well, let's talk.
I don't mean right now.
Yeah. Let's talk tight ends. Since
tight ends next.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a deep class.
And the rest.
So many people talk about O.J. Howard, but there are other guys coming out.
All right.
And I think we should talk about those guys.
Deal. Next time we do DJ's Prospect Watch, Donald will talk about the tight ends. All right, we're back with more in a moment. We're 3 weeks away from the draft, and I'm talking about a lot of things, including quarterback. Should the Bills use their draft picks to add to the quarterback depth chart? That's on the table. We'll reset the Twitter poll, talk more about that when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We're back with Donald Jones, John Murphy and Donald Jones here until 3 o'clock. We are midway through the show, and we're going to talk with Mark Vandermeer, the play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans, coming up at 2 o'clock today. Why the Texans, you might ask? They're in an interesting spot, Donald, with the Tony Romo decision. Romo announcing yesterday he's going to go to CBS, going to retire from football. I don't know if they were counting on Tony Romo, but I think it was certainly a big part of their discussions. I know I talked to Mark and some of his Houston Texans media colleagues down at the Combine, and when I asked them, what are you guys going to do with quarterback, Romo was the name that they mentioned first. I think
really?
They were thinking that might work out for him.
I'm interested to talk to him about that because obviously everybody was waiting to see what was going to happen with Tony Romo coming out of Dallas, and Houston made the most sense. I mean, that's really all they needed was a quarterback. So now they're in a position where what do? They have to go with Tom Savage and draft one, right, in the first round. But that draft pick, I mean, Who are we talking about? Are we talking about Pat Mahomes?
You just went through him.
I know.
Is there anybody there that you'd feel comfortable about saying he's better than what we have? I don't know. Is he better than Tom Savage? Maybe.
Right.
Better than Brock Osweiler last year? Maybe.
Probably.
You'd really have to convince yourself, if you're the Texans or any team, and desperate as you are for a quarterback, you'd have to really convince yourself, yes, I believe Trubisky or I believe Watson or I believe Mahomes is better than what we've had
here. What we have.
Because I don't think you could look at it today, 3 weeks out, and say, that's the guy. That's the guy who will make us better.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can. That's the question for every team when you're drafting anybody, but especially a quarterback. And especially a first-round quarterback. It's not as big as it used to be before this CBA that we have now. But still, man, you take a first-round pick on a quarterback, it's like we could have filled – you miss. It sets your franchise back. We could have filled that position somewhere else. We every team has holes. You know, we could have went somewhere else with this pick. So I don't know if any of these guys are ready to come in here and be the guy. I think Tom Savage is their guy moving forward. He's probably going to say that. He'd probably say they're going to draft one, but he's going to say Tom Savage is their guy moving forward.
Are the Bills going to draft one? Should they draft him? We've got that question on the table today, and it's our Twitter poll. It's what we'd like to discuss with you on the telephone line. The phone line's open at 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. What do the Bills have to do to complete their quarterback depth chart? That's our Twitter poll. Got almost 500 votes in to date. What do they have to do to complete the quarterback depth chart? What do they do? Do they draft one? 63% of you say, yeah, go ahead and draft one. Maybe not one of the four that Donald just broke down, but maybe somebody else. 29% say, sign a veteran free agent. 8% of you say they have what they need. Let's discuss. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. My solution is sign a veteran free agent. Just if you look at the quarterback depth chart, and right now you've got Tyrod Taylor, obviously. You've got Cardale Jones on the quarterback depth chart and Josh Woodrum from Liberty. What's missing, I think, is an old hand, a veteran. Mm-hmm. Guy who's been around the league a little bit. I've seen a lot of stuff. A guy who can mentor the young guys, and I guess I would include Tyrod as – almost still a young guy, maybe, you know, second, 2 years in as a starter, but a guy who can be a mentor, a guy who can be a smart presence in the quarterback meeting room, and a guy who can play in a pinch so that you might not have to throw in Cardale Jones if something should happen to Tyrod Taylor. That would be a role that I think is missing in that quarterback room, which is why I would choose the second option on that Twitter poll.
You'll have a lot of people who will argue and say, Tyrod Taylor is the veteran in the room. Tyrod Taylor's not a rookie. Tyrod Taylor's not on his second and third year. Yeah, I get that. But this will be his third year starting, and Tyrod Taylor still needs to develop into a better passer. You know, so for me, he needs a guy behind him that can help him develop, along with him help Cardale Jones develop, and a guy who can step in and be a winning quarterback for a couple of games if Tyrod Taylor was to go down. In a copycat league, when you look around the league, most teams, if not all teams, even if they have a rookie, even if they have a first-round rookie, they usually have a veteran behind that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even if you have a veteran who's, you know, Tony Romo is your starter, you might have a rookie behind him, but you will have a veteran in that room somewhere. You need a veteran in that room somewhere.
And look, a lot of it depends on where you envision the Bills are. They're not in – this isn't the Cleveland situation. They're not in total rebuild mode here.
Not at all.
They're in a compete-now mode. Can they compete and make the playoffs? I don't know. T-shirts say playoff caliber. But that's the goal here. We've heard it from Coach McDermott and from several other players.
We need to get some of those and wear them here on set.
playoff caliber. But they're in a compete now mode. And so that, I think, would preclude you from having too many developmental prospects on your quarterback roster. They got three now. They probably will add one more. And, you know, who's out there? I don't know. I would look to the free agent class, and I'm looking at the SpotTrac chart right now. Any of these names intrigue you? Colin Kaepernick, whole nother. No, he's been blackballed. They're not. No, I'm just kidding. But there's
but he's
a whole.
He's vegan.
No, he's a vegan. That's why he's been blackballed.
Yeah.
But I read something this morning, Donald. I thought about our conversations on Kaepernick. I guess it must have been on Peter King's MMQB website about Kaepernick when somebody said, "Look, it's one thing to take on Kaepernick and his issues if you're really going to lean on him and make him a starter. If you're filling out your roster, if you're looking at a backup." You don't need issues to go with that backup.
No, you don't.
Now, is that a black ball? No. That's not a conspiracy to keep him out of the league.
Right.
But I think it's a decision made by GMs and personnel people like, yeah, maybe he could help our quarterback depth chart, but do we really need everything that comes with Colin Kaepernick?
Comes with a backup quarterback. Yeah. I mean, All right, is he being blackballed? I don't think he's being blackballed. I feel like being blackballed is everybody comes together and says, we're not drafting him, and we're not going to put this guy on anybody's roster. I don't think that's happening. I think that each individual team, though, will look at it and say, I don't want to deal with those issues. I don't want to deal with those issues that he's going to come, that he's going to bring here. Even if he said he's not going to kneel this year, he's going to, you know, stand for the national anthem and all that stuff. It doesn't matter. It's already happened now. So the teams are going to look at it and say, I don't want to deal with those issues and a backup quarterback. I'm sorry. It's going to be more media here just because he's here. It's the same as Tim Tebow. You know, Tim Tebow brought those issues. He was never going to be – I mean, he wasn't going to be a starter. He was going to be your backup quarterback. I remember when I was in New England, when they signed Tim Tebow – now, New England has a lot of media there every day anyway. Mm-hmm. But when they signed Tim Tebow, it just went crazy. It was like, oh, my gosh, this is unbelievable. How many different news media outlets were there the day he was signed? And I don't think a team wants to deal with that in Colin Kaepernick.
So that he's on the list, though. I'm looking at the list of free agent available quarterbacks, veterans. Kaepernick, Jake Cutler has his own issues, teammate issues, you would think, as far as being a good teammate.
Plus, you know, he was naked on the – did you see that picture?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, he was on like a – I don't know where, a deck or a boat or something. And, you know, his wife took a picture of him naked, so you just see his backside.
I'm glad I haven't seen that picture.
Do we have that picture, Jay? Let's pull it up now.
I want to see that picture. Ryan Fitzpatrick is out there. RG3 is out there. Sean Hill. Matt McGloin. Interesting prospect. Matt McGloin, Oakland. Blaine Gabbert. Dan Orlovsky. Christian Ponder. Thad Lewis. TJ Yates. Ryan Nassib. Look, none of these names, Charlie Whitehurst, none of these names are going to bowl you over, but many of them kind of fit the bill for what I believe would fill out that quarterback depth chart.
Backup quarterback. Yeah, I mean, you look at the backup quarterback, and we keep saying this. The backup quarterback just needs to be able to keep you afloat. You know, we're not saying we want you to take over. You never think like, all right, our starting quarterback is going to go down, and this backup is going to have to take over the entire season. But things do happen throughout the course of a season where – your quarterback, your starter might miss a game or something like that, or two games or something like that. And you need a guy that can come in and win a game or two for you.
Here's a call from Mike in Buffalo. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been wanting to ask this question for a long time, and I really hope it's not a naive question, and part of my question isn't the answer. But the NFL is riddled with all these second, third, fourth round quarterbacks. Like we have Cardale Jones, that kid at the Jets. And with all the scouting, all the preparation, the film work and everything else, it seems like these teams pick these guys up. They see something in it, but yet they bring them into training camp. They put them on the third string. They get hardly any reps. And we hear these words like, well, he's a work in progress, or he has the basic skills and all these other euphemisms. But in the end, what do they all of a sudden see with this guy participating with the pros that they didn't see in college?
Well, that's a really good question, Mike. You got me thinking about a lot of things here. Let me start with this. Teams will take risks in an effort to find the quarterback, right, that they need. And, we, you know, there are people who honestly and earnestly believe you should draft a quarterback every year and always be open to draft a quarterback just in case you uncover that great quarterback somewhere in the draft. So I think there's that. That's why they, you know, the Jets go with Hackenberg and Bryce Petty, and, you know, maybe the Bills go with Cardale Jones in that sense, because they think, look at all this raw talent. Maybe we can make something out of it. So that's important. I think that's one answer. Number two, and this I think is even more serious, Donald. I believe this is not my total revelation. There's not enough time invested in development of quarterbacks. We saw it with Cardale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cardale would have benefited from a year in like a minor pro league or a triple-A football league, last year and this, to be playing, to be taking snaps, to be in a meeting room for a year, you know, as the starter, to be having plays sent in through his headset and calling a play at the line of scrimmage. All the basic, you know, rudimentary stuff of playing pro football quarterback, he needs that.
Right.
I'm thinking the other guys probably need it too, that Mike just mentioned, the caller. They don't get it because, you know, they don't get that time, they don't get that development, because in the NFL, as we mentioned earlier on the show, it's all about who we playing this week and how we're going to beat them. That's a problem, I think.
And they're not being developed in college because
they come from different programs.
They come from the different programs, and the coaches are thinking the same way. We need to win right now. So you hear a guy like Brian Kelly say he could benefit from coming back for another year. It's like, well, what's he benefiting from? You're running the same offense.
Yeah.
If it's not like you're going to change the offense, so it's a pro-style offense. These guys are not running pro-style offenses in college. And so, yeah, they will. They do need, like, some sort of a developmental league so that they can get some real-time game situation stuff. Because even Cardale Jones right now going through a full offseason, he's going to go through the full offseason here. He's going to the whole workout program. Then he's going to go through mini camps. He'll go through training camp. And he's going to get some reps, right, that he wasn't getting last season. Because last season we know EJ Manuel took all of the second-team reps. Cardale Jones was just a scout team guy. With all of the reps that Cardale's going to get in this offseason and training camp and everything, it's still not going to be game reps. And I don't think that you can get ready without getting game time reps. And that's why these guys need a developmental league.
Here is Kevin calling from Syracuse. Hello, Kevin. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know what? To me, a backup quarterback is nothing but a glorified clip holder who is wasting the roster spot. Very few, if any, when they're called upon, win. And that's well documented. So let's continue with Cordell now moving up to the second team so he can get those reps. If something happens to Tyrod, okay, I understand that. Bring him up, just like they brought Roethlisberger up when he was an untested rookie. And as far as another thing that you guys was talking about, that kind of irked me is that how we anoint leaders for the squad. I want my leaders to be organic. I don't want it to be media driven or Kyle was definitely a leader, because I get frustrated because I look at 17 years of losing, and if Kyle was such a leader, and I'm not down to him on that, but I'm just saying there's my negative to trying to anoint somebody a leader. A leader to me is one, they got to be a playmaker, where they going to command the respect of their peers. So we can anoint Kyle, we can anoint anybody we want, but if these young guys, which it looks like we're going to have a lot of, because we only have 61 people on the roster, which means we're probably grabbing a whole lot of free agents. I want playmakers to be my leaders. And if they can't, there's where the problem is.
Right. Good points, Kevin. And I agree with you on the second point. You want the guys, you want your best players to be your leaders. You want, the obvious example, Tom Brady, best player in the game, best quarterback in the game, is reportedly the hardest worker on the Patriots roster.
Right.
So I agree with you on that. On the issue of backup quarterback, so I would take issue with you on that. It's not a waste of a space. And the scenario is, if your quarterback, say, for example, if Tyrod Taylor has a knee sprain and has to miss 2 weeks or a game and a half, you don't want to fall off the table so badly and have nothing invested in the backup that you can't win or at least have a chance to win those games. Look what happened to the Raiders when Carr went out last year.
Right.
They were done. Cook, you don't want to be in that position.
Now you look at the other side of it. Look what happened when, Drew Bledsoe went down for the Patriots. They found their guy.
They had a couple of years in development.
Yeah. Right. They found their guy. And so you need to have a strong backup behind you. Now, you look at the guys out there right now, none of these guys are – you can say, like, this dude is free agents. None of these guys – this dude is a great backup. They're just not. But at least they can come in and win a couple of games for you, And that's why I keep saying you need to make sure you have weapons around, even Tyrod Taylor, because your backup is not going to be – this great, great quarterback. But if he has weapons around you, it will help him win some games.
Doug Whaley has said it over and over. You want he hoped that EJ would be that guy.
Yeah.
You want your backup to go .500.
Right.
Keep your head above water. So this is in the case that you have a quarterback who's out for a game or two. You want your backup to go .500.
You need your backup to go
.500. EJ wasn't able to do that. All right, break, and back with more of your phone calls when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back, John Murphy and Donald Jones, live from One Bills Drive. We're going to talk about the Texans. Where do they go from here? Coming up in the next hour of the show. A couple of phone calls on the line. Let's take a call from Ken in the car. Hello, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hope you're doing well. I told your call screen, you guys are probably going to think I'm really retarded, but here's what I would like to see happen this year. I would like to see the Bills trade Tyrod to the Texans for a third, maybe a third, and some other asset coming back to us. And live and die with Cardell Jones, see what he's got, because I don't think this team is going anywhere this year anyways. Give the kid a shot, see what if there's by some chance he can come out and play and get you there. I think the drop-off is going to be that much because I think Tyrod is just way too inconsistent.
Hmm.
And I would like to see him maybe go that route, and then if it goes down in flames, pick up a quarterback in next year's draft because it looks like there's going to be several good quarterbacks next year. I think keeping with Tyrod, I think we're just going to keep doing the same thing we've done for the last 17 years. We're just going to tread water. When it comes down to it, it's going to go down. I lost all faith in Tyrod in the Raiders game last year. I thought his play cost us that game and potentially cost us the playoffs. Let me know what you think. Thanks, guys.
That's that 50-50.
Right? Yeah. What do I think? I'll hear from Donald in a second. I disagree with you. I think Tyrod's much better than you portray it. Do I think he's a finished product, franchise quarterback? No. Do I think he has holes in his game that need to get better? Absolutely. But I think based on the way the offense has played for 2 years with Tyrod as the starter, yes, a run-based offense focused on getting yardage on the ground, I think you can win with Tyrod Taylor.
I think you can, too. I think he really adds, obviously, to your running game. I think if you get the weapons around him and you get those weapons involved in the offense the right way, then this offense will be dynamic with Tyrod Taylor at the helm. I would not trade Tyrod Taylor away right now. I don't think that, you know, they're ready to just live and die with Cardale Jones, number one. And the previous point that I made, I mean, this team is not, like, that far away. Obviously, you've been right there on the brink of making it into the playoffs for however many years, right? And you haven't made it into the playoffs. I get that. And I get that Tyrod Taylor hasn't been that good in passing the ball. But I just don't think you trade him away. I think you add the weapons around him because he's shown when he has the weapons, he's not a quarterback that lifts the entire team up, that can play with anybody off the streets, even though he did that last year. But when he's shown that when you have the weapons around him, and Sammy's on the field healthy, and you have guys that are catching the ball and running after the catch and healthy, that he can win games for you. And this offense, you look at the offense last year, and it was a top 10 offense. I just don't think you trade the quarterback away, especially after you just signed him to that contract.
Plus, and he mentioned the Raiders game. Bills gave up 38 points in the Raiders game.
The defense was the – I mean
– Bills couldn't protect a 24-9 lead in the Raiders game, and – gave up, 29 consecutive points to the Raiders? That's Tyrod's fault?
Right.
Don't know. Don't think so. We're going to break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the Texans, more about these quarterbacks, and make sure you come on back and join us. John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive, the Buffalo Bills, with another day of the off-season conditioning program here at One Bills Drive. Players back for another day, and it's all voluntary. They'll be back tomorrow and then take the weekend off before returning on Monday. The Bills and other NFL teams busy hosting draft prospects over the next few weeks or so, with the draft 3 weeks from tomorrow. One report has the Bills hosting outside linebacker Tim Williams this week. He is an edge rush specialist from University of Alabama, 27 tackles over the last 3 years, 12 of them sacks. Tim Williams, explosive edge rusher, reportedly visiting with the Bills this week. Tony Romo said yesterday he is 99% sure that he will not return to the National Football League. He announced his retirement yesterday. Romo getting ready to work for CBS as the lead analyst on their football broadcast. But he did leave the door slightly open, saying he's 99% sure he will stay retired. Pro day at LSU today, and running back Leonard Fournette weighed in at 228 pounds. That's 12 pounds lighter than his weight that he clocked at the combine last month. He shed some of the concerns about him as a projected top 10 choice with the 228 weigh-in today in Alabama in Baton Rouge. Speaking of the draft, Deshaun Watson visiting the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. One of the top quarterback prospects discussed earlier this hour on the show. Jaguars incumbent starter Blake Bortles is facing a critical year, and the Jacksonville Jaguars may be wanting to backstop themselves with another quarterback on the roster. And in 2018, Dallas has emerged as a favorite to host the draft at the Cowboys training facility. Philadelphia also in contention. Amazon, retailing giant, getting into the football broadcasting business. Amazon has won the rights to stream Thursday Night Football for the upcoming season. And the Buffalo Sabres finish off the home portion of their schedule with a game against Montreal tonight, a 7:30 faceoff. Robin Leonard will get the start in goal, and Linus Allmark called up from Rochester to back him up. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, and we are live at One Bills Drive talking a lot about quarterbacks today. The Tony Romo news yesterday obviously precipitating that. Donald broke down some of the great prospects in this year's quarterback draft. That's our Twitter poll. Are the Bills set at the quarterback depth chart? We know Tyrod's a starter, but what do they do after that? Quarterback questions in a lot of places, including our next stop. And our next guest is here to talk about the Houston Texans. He is the longtime play-by-play voice of the Texans on radio down there and the host of Texans All Access. Happy to have Mark Vandermeer on the line with us. Mark, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. Thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Hey, guys, always a pleasure.
How much of a shock, how much of a setback was it, Romo's decision yesterday from the Texan standpoint?
I don't think it was any kind of shock at all. In fact, I think they were wondering whether he really wanted to play or not. And, you know, that's just my take on it. I'm not really sure exactly what was going on in the rooms, guys. But I don't think that they had their heart set on it in terms of it being a lock that they were going to get him or anything. I think they made the Osweiler move because they felt like they had to move on from Brock. It was a big gamble they took and a chance they felt like they had to take, obviously, but it didn't work out. And they needed to move on from that quarterback. And if Romo would become available, I would imagine they would have gone for him, but maybe not at such a high price. Maybe it's something that would be very affordable or incentivized, because everybody knows that he's only played five games in the last 2 years. And you know, I just felt like he didn't want to play. I mean, you guys know, when it's over, it's over. Every player I talk to, you know, they want to go out on their own terms, yes, but if the desire meter is not on full, I think most players feel like there's no way they can go through with it. Even though those checks are gigantic, there's no way they can go through with it. And with Romo, I totally get it because he's got such a great opportunity for his next phase of life. How could he possibly pass that up at this time?
Now, all right, without Romo, the question becomes, where do you go now at quarterback? Is Tom Savage the guy, or do they draft one in the first round?
Well, I think both. I think they'll draft one early. That's my take. But I think they feel very comfortable with Tom Savage's ability to run the offense. He's had the worst luck I've ever seen, really. I mean, the guy probably would have been their starter the last 2 years had he not gotten hurt in his rookie year. He came in week 15 against the Colts. He played okay coming off the bench for an injured Ryan Fitzpatrick. And had he stayed healthy, win or lose in that game, he got hurt late in that game. Had he stayed healthy, he would have started the next week. They won the last two games of the year with Case Keenum at quarterback. If he had played well in those two, I think he would have been at least in the mix for the starting job the next year. Maybe he had won it. Because I'll tell you this, guys, in camp, each of the last 2 years, the first of those two was Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer duking it out for the starting job. Everybody watching that camp felt like Savage might have looked the best of the three, even though he was throwing to the third-teamers. And then last year with Osweiler took so long to get adjusted and never really did get adjusted, obviously. Savage was looking so good with the twos, you felt like, that guy looks like the starter. And, you know, at the time we thought, well, it's just taken Brock a long time to get adjusted to this new offense. Savage, it's year three in the system. I just think it's going to be fun for him to have first-team reps for the first time in his career all throughout the offseason, the OTAs, minicamp, training camp, and he'll be the starter on opening day. I think they draft somebody, and he will be able to be developed. Brandon Whedon will likely be the backup. Maybe it's the rookie as the backup, but I think these are the guys they're going to go with. Maybe they bring another veteran, but I don't think so.
I wonder, Mark, you can almost maybe – I would argue that maybe Tom Savage benefited the most from Tony Romo's decision yesterday in terms of playing time and opportunity to be a starter on what should be a pretty good team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when he came off the bench this past year against Jacksonville late in the year, they were down 14-0. He brings them back for the victory. We posted a video on HoustonTexans.com of every throw he made in that game. We did this last week when Bill O'Brien was talking about his quarterback situation at the AFC Coaches Breakfast. And you look at those throws, and you see that Savage can play well. He's got a live arm. He understands this offense. And again, with first-team attention throughout the offseason, and I like his prospects of playing well. But again, he's been so unlucky. Year one, that injury in the Colts game. Year two, he goes out in the fourth preseason game against the Cowboys, and he's never able to come back because they put him on IR, not designated to return. So when you had that Mallett Hoyer meltdown, instead of having Savage able to pick up the slack, they had to go to T.J. Yates and then Brandon Whedon. And then this past year, he got hurt late in the year, last game of the regular season on a quarterback sneak, getting a concussion, so he wasn't able to play in the postseason. So horrible luck for him. He's going to have to stay upright somehow and then prove his mettle.
Now, this gets to my point. Back to Romo, if you have a guy like Tom Savage, he has been very unlucky, been injured. Were they going to bring in another guy like Romo that's been the same way? I mean, he hasn't played, and you know, he's played five games in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think if Romo was available at a good price, like an unrestricted free agent, really wanted to play, and they could have signed him to an incentive-heavy contract, I think they would have gone for it because, look, the upside is so great. I mean, you're talking about a very good quarterback. They were having Hall of Fame debates on him, and I really don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he's certainly a Ring of Honor guy for the Cowboys and their all-time leading passer and would be automatically the best quarterback the Texans have ever had if he's able to go. But you know, you're right. It would be a mystery of sorts as far as the health and everything. But between Tony Romo and Tom Savage, and I think they would have still drafted a guy anyway, between those three, I think they would have felt pretty comfortable going into 2017. Now that's not an option with Romo. They'll go with Savage, rookie, Whedon, maybe another veteran, and just try it that way. It's been a long haul for Bill O'Brien not being able to find his guy at quarterback, but they've been able to have winning seasons each of his first three campaigns anyway somehow.
We're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Mark Vandermeer. He is the voice of the Houston Texans and host of Texans All Access. You mentioned Brandon Whedon. Does he fit into the picture at all as far as significant playing time for the Texans this coming year?
You know, I don't think they'll make it a competition, but I think he can certainly play if needed, John. You know, you look at Whedon, his career, it hasn't been very good, we all know that. Didn't play well with the Cowboys. But when the Texans picked him up in 2015, you know, he came off the bench against the Colts, and he helped them beat Indy in Indianapolis for the first time in franchise history. Now, that was saying something for this team, for this the history of this situation. And then the next week, he beats Tennessee on the road, throws three touchdowns, no picks. He looked pretty good. He ran for another score. He looked good as a Houston Texan in this offense. So I think they feel pretty comfortable with what he can do. And you've always liked the ball that he's throwing. I mean, he throws a pretty football. So I think that he could be part of it here and play okay if needed. I just don't think he's the kind of guy at this stage of his career and at this stage of this franchise's development that you're going to say, all right, he's our quarterback. I just don't see him fitting in that particular way.
You look at the weapons around these two quarterbacks and whoever they end up drafting, I would think they end up drafting one. Do they have enough weapons to get it done on offense? We know the defense is a good defense, but do they have enough on offense to really get it done?
You know, they have a young wide receiving core. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is going to be 25 years old this year. And, you know, he's been around since 2013. Very good receiver. Will Fuller had a decent rookie campaign, got banged up a bit. He's got to get stronger. I think he'll be better in year two. Braxton Miller got hurt as well. They're young. Jalen Strong, young. I mean, these guys, I think they can play, but they got to keep them healthy, and they have to take that next step. As you guys know, you can't stay where you are. You have to improve always, in life and in football especially. And I like what the tight ends did last year. They had a real nice year with C.J. Fedorowicz and Ryan Griffin, who they re-signed. So I think they have enough pass-catching weapons. Lamar Miller looked good out of the backfield, but they really need to find a way to get more production from the reserve back position. Alfred Blue's been okay. Maybe they draft somebody else. They need a little more fortification in the running back depth department. So they get that. I think they've got enough weapons. O-line does need, again, to get some infusion of talent. Right tackle, Derek Newton's not going to be available probably early in the season anyway, if at all this year, coming back from double knee injury. Dwayne Brown's real good at left tackle. I think as long as they make some key draft selections on the O-line and the guys they have continue to develop, they'll be okay there. But again, a lot of things can go wrong. As you know, you get thin in a hurry in this league if you get injuries at certain position groups.
Hey, Mark, I wonder, this question comes up when you see how good that Houston defense is and has been for a while. Is there at all a sense that they've got to get this quarterback thing fixed in a hurry to take advantage of the opportunity presented by how well their defense plays?
Well, I think they've tried. You know, I really believe that. They know they have a good defense. Since 2011, they've had one of the better defenses in the league, and that made the transition from the Wade Phillips-coordinated defense to Romeo Crennel, now to Mike Vrabel. And, you know, Watt's been a part of all of that except for last year when he got hurt. But you look at last year, they signed Osweiler thinking, okay, he's played seven games, he played pretty well, he'll fit in, he can plug and play, he can go. But it didn't really work out, did it? The year before, Ryan Mallett, Brian Hoyer, they both know the O'Brien Patriot system, if you will. They'll work out, right? Well, they really didn't. So they've tried things that just haven't worked. And again, they're going to go with Savage this year, his fourth year in the system, so we'll see how that works out. There is a sense of urgency, yes. They just haven't been able to get over the hump offensively. In fact, they've kind of regressed offensively each of the 3 years under O'Brien. And last year, George Gotz, the offensive coordinator, got fired. But I really think that, you know, you can't just sit here and say O'Brien's failed at that. I mean, it hasn't worked yet. Here he is. He's improved every year. The record's been the same, but playoffs in 15, playoffs and a playoff victory in 16. I mean, there are a lot of teams in the league that would like to be in the shoes of the Houston Texans, who have had five winning seasons out of the last 6 years and have four division titles out of the last 6 years. So they're doing a lot of things right. They just have not gotten it right at the quarterback position, yet they're kind of winning anyway. So it's a perplexing situation.
Mark, John and I talked a lot last week about trading stars, and there was so much talk about, you know, Richard Sherman being traded. There were also some rumblings about J.J. Watt possibly being traded. Was that real news or fake news?
I think it's fake news. I think it's fun to talk about. You know, it's funny because I was just having lunch with a bunch of guys in the cafeteria here, and somebody threw that prospect out. They said, what would you want for Watt? And I thought, well, you know, I'd want a quarterback for Watt, but who can give you a quarterback? Like, if the Patriots came along and said Garoppolo and a 1 and a 2, I would think that might be interesting. But I don't think that's going to happen, you know? I mean, that's the kind of value I think J.J. Watt has. I'd rather just ride with Watt versus, you know, the unknown of getting a first and a second or even 2 ones. What am I going to do with 2 ones when I know I have one of the greatest players in the history of the game on defense in my stable? Now, he's coming back from the back injury, but, you know, no one's going to prepare as well as Watt will for this campaign, so let's see what he can bring to the table. And as good as they were last year, number one in the league with Clowney and everything, putting Watt in the mix now, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, so we'll see where it takes them.
Last question I have for you, Mark. When you look back at you know, where the Texans take off and what they take from last year, that playoff loss to the Patriots, in any way did that maybe infuse them with optimism about where they can go? I mean, it wasn't as one-sided as many people thought it might be, and didn't get you know, really a wide margin till the end of the game. What did the Texans take from the way they lost to the Patriots in the playoffs?
I think they felt really good about the way they played defense for most of the night. They hit Brady hard. They kept things close. You know, giving up the kickoff return for a touchdown was such a killer in the first half, yet there they are down only 17-13 into the half. And in the fourth quarter, they have the ball down 8. They have the ball down 8, but they throw a pick. So they know their problems are mainly about offense. If their offense can do anything, hang on to the ball, score points, my goodness. You know, Osweiler only had 15 touchdown passes to 16 picks. You know, give me 25 touchdown passes. What's that going to do for them? Can you imagine? I mean, and that's not even a high number. So they know that it's about the offense. If they can solve that, and if they're in the same situation next year or preferably at home, that would be nice, they would do a whole lot better. So that's the thinking.
Hey, Mark, thanks for this. We appreciate it. Good talking with you.
All right, gentlemen. Likewise. Thanks.
Mark Vandermeer joins us, the radio voice of the Houston Texans and the host of Texans All Access, joins us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Donald, show of hands, were you surprised to hear that the Texans have had winning records in 5 of the last 6
no.
years? I was. I know where they play. I know the division. I just he was right. You know, how many teams would take that record, would take their recent success?
It's definitely
– You knew that they were winning records 5 of the last 6 years?
Not 5 of the last 6 years, but when you look at the division, it doesn't surprise me just how bad that division has been. You know,
But they – you know, that's the hand they're dealt. They can't petition to be moved to the AFC East and butt
right.
up against the Patriots every year.
Who would do that?
Who wants to do that? Nobody.
Now, when we're talking about a winning record, you know – obviously, you want to have a winning record, but are they like, are we talking 9-7 winning record? Are we talking about, you know, if you're just 9-7 every year, obviously they're still making it into the playoffs, but you're not necessarily one of the better teams in the league. I mean, they're backdooring into the playoffs every single year to a point where the first round of the playoffs, you don't even want to watch them play.
They always look. far be it from us sitting in Buffalo, far be it from me to throw stones at the Texans, right? I mean, we've had, you know, we haven't had a whiff of the playoffs, as we know.
You only play who's on your schedule, right?
Yeah, and, including the Patriots twice here. But all that aside, you know, that means something. They're playing their schedule as it's laid out to them. They managed to get into the playoffs. I don't know if you can poke holes in that. I don't know. You know, are they a super team? Are they a Super Bowl contender? No, I don't think anybody would argue that. I certainly wouldn't argue that. However, they managed to compete with that great defense, and they managed to compete on a year-in, year-out basis.
They are definitely in the tournament, and that's all you can ask for, is to get to the playoffs, and they're doing that. I mean, you look at teams like the Giants at 9-7 that went on and won the Super Bowl. They weren't the best team in the league, which the Patriots were, but guess what? Who won in the Super Bowl? It was the Giants. So they're there. They just need that guy that can get them over the hump. Tom Savage hasn't been able to stay healthy and stay on the field. Maybe he is the guy if he can stay healthy. If not, they're going to have to find somebody else. I do feel like their window, I mean, your defense can only be that good for so long.
Yeah.
You know, your window will be closing here in the next year or two.
So I looked it up. The Houston Texans, 5 years, 2011, 10 wins, won the division.
Okay.
2012, 12 wins, won the division. 2013, 2-14, a bad year, finished last. 2014, 9-7, finished second, did not make the playoffs. 2015, these are 6 years, not five. 9 wins, won the division. Last year, 9 wins, won the division.
Right.
51 wins in 6 years is just about 9 wins a year.
They're doing something.
Would you trade places with them?
I would definitely trade places. Maybe I don't necessarily want to say trade divisions, but you know, if the Bills were in that division, the Bills would probably have been in the playoffs the same amount of time
as
them.
Maybe
a couple of years.
A couple of years.
All right.
Anyway, his point is interesting. Right out of the box, you know, I guess we interpreted it yesterday. The Romo news is what a blow to the Texans. He didn't seem to think so, and you don't know if he's, you know, looking at it through Texans' colored glasses there, but
right. They're
going with Tom Savage, you know, and it sounds like they're all in with Tom Savage.
It sounds like they've been all in with him for a couple of years. He's just had bad luck. He's just been injured, you know. And
that's what he says. You buy that?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't necessarily buy that because they went and signed Brock Osweiler for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, I think they felt – and they didn't just sign Brock Osweiler. They signed him to a crazy deal. They went and got him from Denver, you know. So I don't know if they fully buy into – I feel like they probably were banking on Tony Romo. I feel like they really were like, man, we can get Tony Romo. If he comes available, we can get him. I don't think they were going to trade for him. But if he was released, they would have went out and did what they had to do to sign him.
And Romo said actually in his news conference yesterday, his conference call, that if he were going to play, the Texans would have been his first choice. What is the reason for that? Obviously, I think it's because of the defense. And now
because
they're
the defense.
Set up on defense and with enough weapons on offense.
On offense, yeah. He had enough weapons around him. He had a running back next to him and Lamar Miller. Receivers out there. The defense is a very good defense, one of the best in the league. He looked at – and he wouldn't have to go far. It was still Texas, you know. So he looked at that like, man, that's a good situation for me to go to. I can go there and win. The division is not that strong. We can make it into the playoffs with my help. I think he looked at that and said, that is a good position. But they never released him. Like, I don't even know if, you know, he just came to a point where he was like, I don't want to play anymore. I feel like it took so long that he was like, I'm done now. I got this offer from CBS, and I'm going to just go ahead and do that.
Okay. Interesting to think about it. The Texans situation, the Bills situations, both teams with quarterback questions to be answered over the next few weeks. It would seem the Texans quarterback question is a lot more dire than the Buffalo Bills. We started out the show, and we'll continue to discuss what the Bills have to do to complete their quarterback depth chart. That is our Twitter poll. We've got 537 votes in on our Twitter poll. What will it take to finish off the quarterback depth chart for the Bills? We know Tyrod is the starter. What else do they need? Where do they get him from? 64% of you say draft a quarterback. 28% of you say sign a veteran free agent. And 8% say they have what they need with the three on the roster. Or maybe what you look at is they have Tyrod and they don't need anybody else. I would not be comfortable without an addition to the quarterback depth chart. And to be honest, I'd like to see veteran. It come from free agent ranks.
Yeah, I wouldn't be comfortable with another rookie coming in here. I just wouldn't.
I don't know how that advances
it doesn't.
The chart. You went through an hour ago, you went through the quarterback prospects in this draft. It doesn't appear there's anybody who's There is nobody that who's a can't-miss, surefire, got-to-have-him-on-the-roster guy.
And because you have your starting quarterback that still needs development in the passing game, do you go and draft another one and say, okay, Tyrod, we want you to develop everybody else? No, your starter still needs development in this league, you know? Even though he can win games for you and he needs to be developed in his passing game himself. So I don't think you go and draft one. I think you bring a veteran in here and let that guy back up Tyrod Taylor. He can help out with Tyrod and Cardale, and he can step in and win a game or two.
Caller two here, John in South Buffalo. Welcome to the show, John. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Donald. Love your show.
Thanks.
And however, I just feel I have to take issue with what I think you guys are letting the NFL off the hook when it comes to signing Colin Kaepernick. I can't quite get my arms around this idea that he has issues. I mean, his issue is that he protested in what is an important issue in this country regarding how minorities are treated in their interactions oftentimes with law enforcement authorities mm-hmm. in this country. And, at the same time, you have guys you have real issues. I mean, a few years ago, you had Roethlisberger, who was accused of abusing a woman in a bathroom. You had, in our own town, you had Darius flying through streets where he could have killed an innocent family. You've had instances of spousal abuse of women and drug use. And all of a sudden, this is an issue for the league?
Who's getting let off the hook?
The league?
Who's getting let off the hook in your mind, John?
Saying that the NFL, the various people in the NFL, I think you're dismissing the fact that there isn't an attempt to blackball this guy. I mean, the Harbaugh says the guy just last week was saying this guy has the possibility of still having a great NFL career.
Yeah.
Harbaugh is a very, very obviously very knowledgeable guy when it comes to quarterbacks and offenses. Exceeded everywhere he's gone.
All right, let's dig down on this a little. Let me finish here, John. I don't think I have said there's no blackball attempt here. No, nobody's signing him. What I do think is he's not good enough, and I'm not going to speak for Donald here. My perception is NFL teams believe that he's not good enough to bring him onto your roster with all of that baggage. Now, for better or worse, that's the situation. We were just talking about this, as a matter of fact, during the last break, about how Duke Williams, former Bills safety, college teammate of Colin Kaepernick mm-hmm. at Nevada, on our show last fall, it was before the Niners game, Duke Williams talked about what a good teammate Kaepernick was. How, he's smart, he's articulate, he speaks his mind. He's taking a hit right now. There's no question he's taking a hit financially and career-wise for his strong political stance. But I don't think, based on his performance, I think the teams are evaluating that and thinking he's not good enough to bring all that baggage onto our roster.
And let's not,
hang on, John. Let's hear what Donald says.
Let's not dismiss, when you go and you take a stance on something like this and there's such, negative backlash towards you, what's going to happen when you decide to take a stance.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a real issue. No, it's not a real issue. Like the dude, he took a knee. Some people feel like it's disrespectful to the anthem and to the flag and all that stuff. I get that. Is it a real issue when you compare it to people that have been in trouble off the field? No, it's not. But guess what? It turned into a big issue once he did it, and the media took it and ran with it.
Yeah,
and so now does a new team or another team say, we want to sign this guy and bring all of that attention to our franchise? That's what we're talking about. I don't know if he's being blackballed. I'll even say his stats are better than a lot of these quarterbacks that have been signed from last year. His stats were better than those guys last year. But guess what? Just be realistic about it and look at it. It's going to bring media attention that teams might not necessarily want to deal with.
And before I'm going to let you respond, John, but before that, I believe that Kaepernick is going to sign somewhere sometime in the next couple of months.
He might.
Go ahead, John. What do you think?
Yeah, but, these other guys got off the hook. I mean, you're seeing Darius. God, he missed 10 games, and there seemed to be no problem within the NFL. I mean – come on, I think it's being that naive to think that the NFL, there isn't the possibility of, to just wholeheartedly dismiss the possibility of blackballing this guy.
Well, let's define, what do you mean by blackball, John?
I think by not signing him. by not signing him.
Well, he hasn't been signed yet. I think he will be signed, as I said. But I guess I look at it like somebody, there's like collusion that they've all gotten together and said, look, we're not going to sign Colin Kaepernick. I don't think that's the case. I think individual teams are looking at it and saying, look, he's not good enough as a player to put on our roster based on to handle all the baggage that he brings. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't think there's collusion in the sense of a conspiracy where the 32 billionaires who own this league. I mean, let's look at this league, too. I mean, come on. I mean, the 32 billionaire owners, when they get together for their winter meetings, this isn't exactly a meeting in the ACLU. I mean, these guys aren't necessarily known for their progressive stances. I mean, I think there is a possibility. You know, it may not be even telling the general manager. But, I mean, you tell me that the general manager wouldn't think that, hey, maybe I better not sign this guy because my boss might not like his political standing.
Yeah. I do think that takes place. I'm just for the definition side of it, blackball, reject someone typically by means of a secret ballot is the dictionary definition. I think we have a general understanding of what that means. Collusion or not, I do think general managers think, I don't know if this guy's good enough to bring on my roster and bring all the baggage that comes with it. I think we're kind of in agreement on that. Maybe disagreeing about terms of what we mean by blackball.
Yeah, apparently Jim Harbaugh doesn't have any problems with this guy having a career as a quarterback in this. And I'll tell you, I would take Harbaugh's opinion of how this guy is as a player over any of us.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying there. But look at the guys that have been signed. Look at a guy like Greg Hardy. Totally different issue. We're talking about domestic violence, a case where the league now is taking a strong stance on domestic violence after the whole Ray Rice thing. The Cowboys end up signing Greg Hardy, and his case was ridiculous. Obviously, there was no video or anything like that. We're talking about a guy like Joe Mixon that's probably still going to be drafted. We don't know yet, but I think he's going to be drafted, and we see video of that, you know, and how strong the league is right now against domestic violence. It's still going to happen. Like, they still sign guys.
How strong the league says they are.
Right. Yeah. They still sign players that have off-the-field issues. This is not even a real issue. Like, I get what you're saying here. But individually, I just don't think the teams want to deal with the media attention. I don't.
And, yeah, we're going over the same ground. I think and John, to be honest with you, John from South Buffalo, I think we're saying the same thing. It's just the definition of blackball that maybe they're hung up on. Real news, fake news, coming up next. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We're here until 3 every day. Tomorrow, head coach Sean McDermott coming in with us at 1 o'clock. I got a little homework for you.
Okay.
Questions for Coach McDermott. No, I'm just kidding. We both think about it. I'll go home tonight and think, what are we going to ask Coach McDermott about? But let's think about it, right?
You got to try to get some nuggets out of him.
Get some nuggets. That's because he's been great, but let's get some info. Get some intel. Let's try. Good luck to us. Sean McDermott tomorrow at 1. Hope you tune in for that. Part of the show we call Fake News, Real News. I've said it over and over again. 6 in 10 Americans believe that traditional media sources report fake news. 6 in 10, 60%. A majority of Americans believe that there's fake news out there. Unbelievable. What about in the football world? That's why we are here, to dispel some of the notions of fake news in the football world. Donald and I are here to talk about it. It is Fake News, Real News. It is sponsored by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. And let's dive into it. We kind of following up what we just talked about last segment. Tony Romo elects to get out of the NFL, to retire and go to CBS. Tony Romo ruins the Texans' offseason plan. Fake news, real news. You just maybe heard Mark Vandermeer talk about it, the play-by-play voice of the Texans, and talk about Tom Savage. I'm going to go with real, Donald. I think that they were kind of banking on Tony Romo. We'll see what Tom Savage does. Were they 90% certain they'd get Romo? No, maybe 70% hopeful that they'd get Tony Romo. I think Tony Romo not being available to the Houston Texans is detrimental to their chances this year. So I'm saying that's real. Did Romo ruin the Texans' offseason plan at quarterback? Yes, I believe he did.
I guess I have to agree with you on this and go.
No, you don't. You don't have to.
Well, I'm saying I do right now. and go real, just because I feel the same way. I feel like they were really banking on Tony Romo being released from the Cowboys and him looking at the Texans situation as a good situation for him. He didn't have to move far, and they were hoping that it happened, and it didn't happen for them. Obviously, you know, they'll never say it. They, you know, Tom Savage has been a good quarterback for them when he's in there in the lineup, but he's been hurt. And so they looked at Tony Romo like, this guy can get us over the hump, not just making it to the playoffs, not just having a winning season, but being a dominant team. And so I have to go with real news.
Romo ruins the Texans' offseason plan. We think that is for real. Mm-hmm. Now, look, they might win their 9 or 10 and make the playoffs again with Tom Savage or somebody else.
Yep.
But I think they would have preferred to go with Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. Fake news, real news. Topic number two, fake news, real news. This deals with Commissioner Roger Goodell, a guy that I know, Donald, you don't hold in high regard. I know him. I like him. I think he's had some missteps along the way, a lot of them. This came up in the owners' meeting. It was reported that Jerry Jones at the owners' meeting last week discussed Roger Goodell's salary among a small group of owners. Jones suggested, the report was, he suggested that the compensation committee would take a look at Roger Goodell's pay. Maybe he's paid too much. How much is he paid? In 2015, Roger Goodell made $31.7 million. Hmm. Year before, $34 million. Year before, $35 million. 2012, $44 million. These are some big numbers yes. in a sport that makes a lot of money. From 2006 through 2015, reportedly Roger Goodell made $180.5 million. Million dollars. So is it fake news or is it real news about Roger Goodell? Roger Goodell needs a pay cut. Fake or real? I'm going to say fake. As I said, I know Roger Goodell. I like him. He's made some missteps along the way. I believe nobody gets paid anything more than what they're worth, what their bosses think they're worth. That goes for NFL
That's
players,
true.
Right? If NFL players are making huge salaries, I think, well, they have a unique skill set that they have applied and worked on and honed to the point where they can be a great player. But not just in football, not just in football players. I believe that for the most part, people get paid what they're worth. If someone's willing to pay you something, you're worth it. So does Roger Goodell make a lot of money? Absolutely. Has Roger Goodell made some mistakes along the way? You bet. Does he need a pay cut? Nope, not for me to say. I think it's fake.
I'm going to go with real just because Jerry Jones is like the second commissioner in this league, and he's the one that said this, and he feels like Roger Goodell needs to take a pay cut. I also look at, you know, this league was not for profit for a long time. You know, it just became a for-profit thing. But in a not-for-profit, you look at CEOs in any nonprofit not-for-profit, they're not making that type of money. You look at CEOs in multi-billion dollar companies, for-profit companies, they're not making that much money
per
year.
Are you sure? Have you looked at it with bonuses and stuff?
Bonuses and stuff, yeah. Some of them might be making that stuff. But in a not-for-profit, I just don't think that he should have been making that type of money. I think he needs a pay cut. He needs to take a pay cut.
Who are you to say who needs a pay cut?
It's not even just me. It's Jerry Jones, the second commissioner.
Who are you and Jerry Jones to say that Roger Goodell makes too much money? That's my point. I don't think any of us can say that. I mean, you know, you get paid what you're worth. Somebody in charge thinks you're worth it. They set your salary. That's what you're worth, I think.
I'm just going to go with Jerry Jones on this.
You just don't like the commissioner. Let's face it, right? You don't like the celebration. You had Troy Vincent sitting there yesterday. Man. You attacked him about the stupid celebration.
I did not attack him. I could have attacked him, but I wanted to be
he was
easy.
Right next to you.
No, I didn't want to do that on our show.
Fake news, real news. Let's move on. LSU Pro Day today. We talked about Leonard Fournette, how he knocked 12 pounds off since the combine a month ago. Defensive back Jamal Adams, regarded as one of the top safeties. He ran the 40-yard dash today at the LSU Pro Day. Ran a 4.33 40-yard dash today at the LSU Pro Day. Fake news, real news, and here's where this gets a little interesting. He ran 4.56 at the combine a month ago. So he went from 4.56 to 4.33 in his Pro Day today. So that's 0.2. That's about 1/5 of a second faster in a 40-yard dash. That's significant. That's real. That's a moneymaker if that's the time you go with. Fake news, real news. Jamal Adams improves his 40 time from 4.56 to 4.33. I say fake. I think at your pro day, you can speak to this. You are set up to succeed, whether it's a quick clock, whether it's the field setup, whether it's the turf that you're accustomed to. You should always – I want to hear what you say about this. You should probably – run better in your pro day than you did at the combine, but that's a little ridiculous, that much improvement. I think.
That much improvement, right? It's like, come on, the dude didn't get that much faster in a month since the combine. So I'm going to go with fake as well. The reason being, when you go to your pro day, you know, they might it's a 40-yard dash, but guess what? It might be 39 and a half.
Yeah,
it might be – sometimes they even set you up to run downhill. You know, I mean, they really set you up in your pro day. You hear even with the quarterbacks, it was scripted by a certain coach or something like that. So-and-so set it up just right for this person to have a good pro day. That's what happens at your pro day. And so you should, like you said, run better times. You should perform a lot better at your pro day than you do at the combine. That's why you still have a combine. That's why you have the combine and then your pro day. And that's why you have so many people get bent out of shape when guys don't perform at the combine and just say, I'm going to wait until the pro day, because you know at your pro day you're going to have good numbers.
Okay, fake news, real news. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. There's a call from Ivan in Buffalo. Hi, Ivan. We've got a couple of minutes here. What do you got?
Okay, guys, how you doing? I know you guys sort of moved away from this topic with Kaepernick, but I'm going to tie it in with fake news. I think for us, for anyone to believe that it hasn't at least been in the topic with owners or even some GMs not to bring in Kaepernick on their team, I think, you know, it's a little short-sighted of us. I mean, look at a guy who has, you know, went to the playoffs several years and then even went to the championship. How do Geno Smith and E.J. Manuel get a job over him? You know, I mean, something ought to let you know that, you know, teams aren't looking at Kaepernick simply because of the fact of his political stance. I mean, again, like I said, EJ over Kaepernick, Geno Smith over Kaepernick, come on, doesn't make sense, you know? Here's a guy, man, even last year he had a good season, threw forward 2,000 yards, and he didn't even start. So, I mean, the guy has ability, he can play, you know? And I do agree with you, John, I do see him probably somewhere, maybe within a few months, probably getting on the team somewhere, yeah. You know, but... You know, maybe not right away.
Thanks, Ivan. Donald, you think he might go into camp before he gets a job, Colin Kaepernick?
I think it'd be somewhere into at least through many camps where they're like, this dude is not getting it done. We need to bring somebody else in. And then they'll look at Kaepernick and say, we should bring him in now. They're probably – I don't know if there'll be guarantees or anything like that, but
right.
He'll be signed somewhere.
Somebody will get desperate.
Yeah.
And if they wait – I guess, again, going back to the earlier caller, I don't know if that's blackballing anybody. Look, his off-field baggage, his protest, is costing him money. I don't dispute that. It's right. Costing him money. It's costing him a job right now. I think he will wind up somewhere. Is that? I don't think there's a collusion involved among
right.
owners to say, let's keep this guy out. But it's costing him. There's no question about that.
It's definitely cost him. And he knew that. Like, he knew what was going to
yeah.
happen when he decided to take that stance. I'm sorry. Even though it's not any trouble off the field, it's a big social issue in this country. It is. And, you know, he knew what was going to be the backlash once he decided to do it. It happened. Now he understands the situation that he's in. Like we said, we don't know if he's being blackballed, if there's any collusion. We do feel like there are teams, though, that probably will say, listen, I'm not dealing with this guy. I'm not dealing with the baggage that he brings.
All right. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
What do we learn? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What do we learn? Charles Clay joined us in studio in the first hour. The Bills tight end was asked if he could be the number two receiving target on the Bills roster this year.
It's no question I do. Especially, you know, the work I put in every offseason, coming here every day is to be, you know, that guy. If my number's called on, you know, I'm trying to come through every single time. So it's definitely no doubt in my mind that I can be. Like I say, you just kind of control what you can, but I'm definitely preparing, you know, for that. And I definitely feel like I could be that guy.
Charles Clay, Bills tight end, coming back for another year, his third with the Bills. Also on the show today, earlier this hour, Mark Vandermeer joined us. He's the play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans. We asked him if yesterday's Tony Romo decision to go to broadcasting instead of playing in the NFL, if that was in any way a setback for the Houston Texans.
I don't think it was any kind of shock at all. In fact, I think they were wondering whether he really wanted to play or not. And, you know, that's just my take on it. I'm not really sure exactly what was going on in the rooms, guys. But I don't think that they had their heart set on it in terms of it being a lock that they were going to get him or anything. I think they made the Osweiler move because they felt like they had to move on from Brock. It was a big gamble they took and a chance they felt like they had to take, obviously, but it didn't work out. They needed to move on from that quarterback. And if Romo would become available, I would imagine they would have gone for him, but maybe not at such a high price. Maybe it's something that would be very affordable or incentivized.
They're going with Savage. Tom Savage is their quarterback, it appears, right now down there in Houston. Our Twitter poll today dealt with quarterbacks and the Bills' quarterback situation. Three quarterbacks on the roster now as they begin their offseason conditioning. What do they have to do to complete their quarterback depth chart? What do the Bills have to do to finish off the quarterback depth chart? Our Twitter poll, we got 552 entries, votes, and most of you, 63% of you, said they got to draft one. Draft a quarterback. 29% say sign a veteran free agent. 8% say they have what they need. I would say sign a veteran free agent. I think it better completes the look at quarterback, and I think you don't want two developmental guys around. Donald, I think you agree with me on that, don't you?
No, you don't have to. I think you definitely need to have a veteran presence in the room. I think it's better for everybody involved, for your starting quarterback, for your third string in Cardale Jones. It's good to have a veteran in there that's been around the league, you know, on a couple different teams, can say we've done it this way here, we didn't do it this way here, this is the way you should do it. What are you looking at here? A guy that can help to develop both guys and a guy that can win you games.
Okay. Hey, this word, this is something to talk about tomorrow. Marshawn Lynch apparently visiting the Raiders today. He's still Seahawks property, I believe.
Yeah, I thought he was still Seahawks property. So, I mean, it's interesting. Can they even do that?
I don't know. We'll get more on it and talk about it tomorrow. Hey, we want to thank our
presenting. From Oakland. He might have just went up there himself.
Stumbled in.
Yeah.
Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Our production assistants from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Homiter, James Donovan, Jay Harris, our producer. See you tomorrow at noon. Coach McDermott at 1 on the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.